about.
Beer mug here at the red car premiere.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
It seems like it would be a natural reaction because other people have treated you like your life, like you're incredibly, you know, great, and your life is great, and you must have. And they all treat you differently than they do normal people. How do you keep your head about you?
That sentence was confusing.
Respect. Game recognized. Game.
Oh! He's gonna want to put some ice on that.
And now
your champion, little horse. And you're dead. You're the champion of death. You're the champion of death.
Our feature presentation.
What exactly is the champion of death?
That was the little midget horse that everybody fell in love with that they sadly had to mourn on Parks and Recreation.
Oh, yeah.
Which I think I could be wrong.
What was his name?
I don't remember. I think that may be back. Maybe back tonight. I think 30 Rock may be back. I think the Thursday Night lineup is finally getting back in stride here for NBC. So, yeah, that's a great show. I love it so much. Welcome in, party people, to an all new Kevin Amin show. It is now a Thursday. Here's a fascinating story. You know, illegal file sharing.
No, Kevin. I don't. I'm not aware of that. How does that work?
That you don't hear all that much about. Occasionally, I'll see a story in the news with somebody being prosecuted. But, I mean, this is one of the thorniest issues of our time when you think about it, because it's literally impossible to stop. It will never go away because there are so many people who are hosting files, offshore that the United States government, they can't do anything about it anyway. You just can't stop people from getting stuff for free.
It's not just that. You also don't get it from one source. You get it from 100,000 computers, a tiny little piece from each. And so it's almost impossible for the government to close it down. Not that I would
almost
know.
Almost impossible. And by the way, I thought about this in particular yesterday because I heard a song on satellite radio that I had not heard before. I thought, oh, that's awesome. I want to get me some of that. And I went to Amazon, not available. Went to iTunes, not available. So then I went, I just did a search for, an MP3 download. Boom, there it was. A minute later, I own it. Now, I'm not saying that's an excuse because I don't think anybody is guaranteed the right to free music. You can't just have something because you want it.
Were fine with it.
No, what I'm saying is it's the reality of the situation. It's a risk I'm willing to take understanding what prosecution is like and how unlikely it is that you're going to get caught doing something like that.
Oh, I can't wait.
I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying that's what people do is people go, oh, I can get that, so I will get that.
Right.
At least I tried to buy it and didn't have the option.
Right.
Anyway, the reason I bring all of this up is because there's a new website called Torrent Freak, and they do something similar to what the RIAA does, but they make it public. In other words, they track down IP addresses and what was downloaded from those IP addresses.
Oh, really? Because Torrent is the name of what you do. That's the name of how you download it. That's
right.
Weird.
Yeah, that's a term that kind of is used to describe how you get those files. So anyway, the reason this is in the news is because Torrent Freak discovered all of the illegal downloads going on in the Washington, D.C. offices of the RIAA, the Recording Industry Association of America. Now,
awesome. No way.
The RIAA, those are the people that sue you. Those are the people that take the mother of two in Minnesota to court and make her pay $10,000 a song for everything she's downloaded from Third Eye Blind or whatever it was back then. And so CNET picks up on the story and they reach out to the RIA and they go, hey, what about this? So they're talking to a spokesperson over there. What about these IP addresses that are from your building? And the guy says, oh, those aren't ours. Those are similar to ours. So then they pull out the paperwork and show that they are the exact same ones.
That guy had to know they were going to read through that. Oh, it's not ours, but it's close.
Right. And then the RIA spokesperson says, well, it's not our employees. Those must be third-party people who are using our equipment. In other words, it wasn't me is basically what they're
saying. Some guy walked in off the street and just helped himself.
which is phenomenal because that has been the defense of a lot of these people who have been sued by the government for downloading music. They go, hey, look, it wasn't me. And by the way, part of their defense is you can't prove that it was me. Just because that computer's in my house, you don't know if it was a family member, a relative, a friend, somebody who was staying at my house. You have no idea who it was, and there's no way you can prove it. So that's been their defense. I mean, they've sued tens of thousands of people. And a lot of those people say someone else did it, and that's never held up as a defense. You know, they always say, well, too bad, you have to pay.
Right.
So I don't know who can sue the RIAA. I don't know. They're the ones who do the suing for this offense. I don't know.
Could it be a class action lawsuit?
I don't know. That's a great question. I don't know what will come of this, but it is hilarious. And by the way, in case you're interested, some of the items downloaded in D.C. in their offices were Kanye West, My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy.
Well, that was good.
Jay-Z's American Gangster.
Right.
Was another one. Illegal downloads of seasons of Dexter and Law & Order SVU. Uh-huh. It just goes on and on. So interesting story when they are faced with, oh, really? You do that too, huh?
I'm surprised they don't come with the, we need to figure out how it works so we can stop it defense.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Surprised they don't do that.
Yeah.
Instead of somebody walked in off the street and used it without our knowledge.
Well, it is funny to see them scramble to come up with a reason why that might have happened, because they certainly haven't had much time or room for other people and their reasons for the same crime.
You start with Bean. That's all I know. What I hear about from this story. Let's talk about today's show, Kevin Avicii, shall we?
This is boring.
We haven't even started. Comedian Eddie Ift is going to be here today.
He's not boring.
Right. Yeah, right.
He's not boring. I already missed yesterday.
He's tardy, but he's not boring.
Slept in. All right. I set my alarm for p.m. instead of a.m.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Michael Clark Duncan will be here today.
Yeah.
Talking about The Finder, brand new TV show.
Mm-hmm.
Love him in every way.
You say that.
We have Will Arnett, TV star in his own right from Up All Night. We'll talk to him today on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Okay.
We have, speaking of TV stars, we have Dr. Drew on the program. He's got more TV shows than all of these people put together.
Yeah.
We're going to talk to somebody from the CES, which is the Consumer Electronics Show. It's Jessica Chobot, and she's from G4.
Yes.
And we have Coachella tickets for you to win.
Excellent.
We're going to make you earn them, but we have a chance for you to get those coming up as well. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
Hey, party people, welcome in on a Thursday Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph, I was thinking about you last night. I was reading some details about this Van Halen tour that's coming out.
Yeah!
Tickets are going on sale. They're playing all over the country. Got the new album. Back with David Lee Roth. You were talking about how you wanted to go. Now you're in. Now maybe even Kevin's in when I tell you who the opening act is, at least on the first leg of the tour.
Oh, Flock of Seagulls?
Opening act.
Cool and the Gang.
Yay!
What a weird opening act for that band.
Is that crazy or what?
I don't even know. I think a Cool and the Gang song, do I? What was their big
hit?
Yeah, sure.
You've heard Celebration.
Celebration.
Yeah.
Oh, I hate them.
Yeah.
That song's awful.
They're so different than Van Halen. That's a bizarre choice.
So bizarre. I mean, even if you're going to go back to the 80s when both bands were popular, it does seem like they're,
I think Van Halen's popularity has withstood a little bit better than Cool and the Gang's.
Yeah. I mean, I was expecting like Cinderella or Rat or somebody, or maybe go in a different direction and find some, some current band that is sort of like old Van Halen used to be.
Yeah.
But Cool the Gang, I did not see coming.
Is Van Halen still playing the bass?
It's Wolfgang.
Yeah, it's his son.
It's Van Halen, yes. He's not Fat Van Halen, not his name.
Fat Halen.
I don't think I think he's thinner than Michael Anthony was, quite frankly.
Really?
Yeah.
Not by much.
It was significantly, I think.
All right. I haven't seen him in a while. I didn't see him since the last time they got together and tried this tour.
But look, if you got a fat bassist to begin with, you got to replace him with a fat bassist.
I guess.
Can't
that makes sense.
Sure.
Got to keep
it balanced. Throws the balance of the stage off.
I guess so.
That's rock and roll rules.
That's right.
That's science. You can look that up.
Science!
5:51 now. Time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
That's what they should have open for him. Thomas Dolby.
Sure.
There you go.
Science!
And then when he does that song, they're up.
Off the stage, and then it's Van Halen time. Well, I'll be getting the show late, I guess, if Cool and the Gang are opening.
Cool and the Gang!
I see you shaking that ass.
Let's groove tonight? Was that theirs?
Let's
groove tonight.
That's Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Oh. I wish Earth, Wind, and Fire was opening for him.
You'd be surprised how many Cool and the Gang songs you know, though. You really would.
I don't think I would know them, I'd say.
Joanna. That's them.
That sounded nothing like any song that's ever existed.
It's too hot. How about this one? Hollywood swinging. How about that one? That's Cool in the Gang.
No, that does not ring a bell.
No.
Not at all.
Okay.
No.
How about we stop playing this game?
Bean's got deep knowledge of Cool.
Oh, are you kidding? He knows them all.
He's way cool. Hey, guess what happened on this day back in 1966? Anyone take a guess what happened on this very day back in 1966?
I don't know. Does it have something to do with Batman?
Why, Kevin, actually, what a guess that you just made. This is the day on which the TV series Batman debuted on ABC.
Yay!
Starring Adam West.
Oh, my God. Who the hell cares?
I bet Adam West cares.
And
yes. Burt Ward.
He and you.
As his young ward, Dick Grayson, a.k.a. Robin the Boy Wonder. Anybody want to guess what the first villain was on television?
I just don't care at all.
First supervillain the Cape Crusaders took on in the pilot episode?
I just don't care at all.
Is that your way of guessing, Kevin? Are you?
That's my guess.
You're right, Kevin. The Riddler. The Riddler was the very first one. Absolutely right. Yeah.
The Riddler.
You know, I'm doing that evening with Adam West on the 28th, Saturday the 28th. I'll be sitting down with Adam to talk about his career and his life.
Oh, my God. Who the hell cares?
Yeah, lots of people. If all you right. want to go, you can. We've got a post for it up on kevinandbean.com. And you can buy tickets for the John Lovitz Theater that night and come and hang out with us. And a lot of people are asking, because they know the proceeds are going towards paying for his star in the Hollywood Walk of Fame, that maybe they can't make it that night or whatever. Can they still donate if they want to help? And you can. You can go to AdamWestStar.com. And there's a place there where you can donate if you want to help pay for Adam's star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
A lot
of
people this may is not- Adam West. Get a life, Ralph.
Oh, come on, Adam.
A lot of people may not know it costs, what is it, 10 grand?
$25K.
$25,000 that you have to put up to get a star.
Yeah. Listen, I can understand it. There's certain construction fees that have to be paid.
Right, but this is an honor, right?
It is.
This is an award.
But I think the ceremony where they had to block off the street and everything, I'm sure there are costs that incurred that the Hollywood Chamber of Commerce just can't handle. So.
$25,000.
Showbiz got to take care of its own. But I'm saying. Hey, yeah. How about porn star Kim Kardashian as co-host of the Regis and Kelly show? How would you like to see that in your lifetime?
Yes.
How would you like that to happen?
I would love that.
Why?
Because to hear her talk endlessly would be fascinating.
Yeah, it would be pretty funny. Well, there's a chance it could happen. It certainly is going to happen, at least for a short period of time. They've announced that she will be Kelly's co-host since Regis is gone, starting the week of the 23rd. And rumors have it that she's in the running possibly for the full-time gig.
She would never want to work 5 days a week.
No, because that would involve actually doing something.
Yeah.
Other than shopping. But I don't like it when she does things. I would like her to stop doing things.
You don't mind pictures of her in magazines, that's it.
That's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine. While we're talking about the Kardashian clan, Robert Kardashian's wives, his former ex-wives, Jan, Ashley, and Ellen Kardashian, I guess he was... married twice before Chris.
This is Kim's real dad that passed away?
Right. Okay. Robert Kardashian, big-time L.A. lawyer, was O.J. Simpson's very close friend, part of his dream team, his defense team, when he went on trial. They have both come forward saying that they believe Khloe was fathered by another man.
By a Yeti.
That's right. By some other species, let alone another man. That's why there's no resemblance whatsoever in the family between Khloe and the other sisters.
What a bummer.
Yeah. Kris Jenner, of course, is furious with this story.
Sure, which means it's true.
That's what I'm thinking, yeah. And Khloe tweeted that these women should be ashamed of themselves. She can't believe they have the audacity to mention my father's name like this. That they're flat-out disgusting, they claimed. Well, there's the pot calling the kettle.
No kidding.
Yeah. Halle Berry has famously vowed never, ever, ever, ever to marry again. Well, she's engaged.
Yep. That's the way it works.
Things apparently are very serious with Olivier Martinez, her actor-model boyfriend. He has popped the question, and friends are saying that she can't wait to become a bride for the third time. She calls Olivier her rock and loves that he's so committed to her and to her daughter, Nala. So they're making plans, apparently, for a summer wedding in California's wine country. Listen, Halle Berry. You feel that way every time you get married to these guys. It just might not be for you.
And then afterwards, you feel like you'll never get married again.
Yes.
It's like drinking.
That's right.
People drink.
I'll never drink again.
The hangover of love. And Lindsay Lohan, back in the news. Just when you think Lindsay's got her act together.
What?
She's
heading south again?
Heading back into court.
Now what?
She's being sued by a paparazzo named Grigor Balyan. Ah, Grigor Balyan. Ha ha. Drinking vodka, taking pictures.
All I know of the story so far is I'm on Lindsay's side, but go ahead.
He was struck by a car being driven by Lindsay Lohan's assistant while he was trying to take pictures of Lindsay.
Okay.
He claims the accident caused him orthopedic and neurological injuries. claims he's looking just for reasonable compensation since he believes the assistant was driving at Lindsay's direction. Maybe she was in the car at the time telling her where to go, perhaps.
Meaning run over that guy?
I don't think that's what I'm saying. I don't think she said, hey, 10 points, and pointed at that guy and said, gun it. Odds are he was probably in an inopportune spot at time, I'm guessing.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen video of this incident, but all the ones that I have seen in cases like this, the person should be run over. The person is clearly in the way of the automobile that's trying to drive somewhere.
They get right up there into the windshield and the passenger side and, you know, stick their camera lenses right up against there. If you get that close to a car that's moving, I think you run the risk, right? Isn't that an occupational hazard?
Put yourself in that situation.
And by the way, you're also making it extraordinarily difficult for the driver, especially if you're one of 15 guys with flash bulbs going off in front of the dude's face.
Yeah. I think Grigor should hope we don't get on the jury in this particular case.
Yeah, no kidding.
And then also, Uncle Sam is after Lindsay.
Uh-oh.
She has an Uncle Sam?
Oh, Gilligan. Turns out in 2009, she, forgot to, what's that called? Oh, pay her taxes.
At all?
At all.
Uh-oh.
Dude.
And the government has obtained a $93,000 lien against her property that she needs to pay off.
Or else
they're going to confiscate her property.
Listen, porn. Just do it.
That's your advice.
Pay everything off. You'll be fine.
Well, she is up for playing Elizabeth Taylor in a made-for-TV movie for Lifetime, apparently, about Elizabeth Taylor and Richard Burton's love story. So she might be making some money soon. But it looks like if she does, the government will have its hand up when she gets her check. Today's celebrity birthdays, Naya Rivera from Glee. Santana on Glee. Yeah. She is
hot.
She's the best.
She's pretty strong.
I mean, if you like lesbian cheerleaders.
I think she's bi, isn't she? No, I guess the blonde is bi and she's more lesbian. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That's good. She's 25 years old today. Gemma Arterton from Quantum of Solace.
Yes.
Wow. She is 26 years old today. Melanie Chisholm, Melanie C. Sporty Spice of the Spice Girls is 38. Zach De La Rocha from Rage Against the Machine. He's 42 years old today. I just did that for Chip.
We found out the other day.
Zach De La Rocha of Rage Against the Machine.
We found out the other day she can't, what do you call it? Roll her R's.
Yeah.
She can't physically do it. It's awesome.
Our buddy, musician, actor, director, Rob Zombie is 47 years old today. Actor Oliver Platt celebrates 52. And Kirstie Alley is 61 years old today. Looks pretty good for a 61-year-old. I gotta give her that.
Sure.
I guess sometimes the extra tissue pushes out the skin, keeps it nice and smooth. That works out. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Funny man Eddie Eft on the program today. Actor Will Arnett, Dr. Drew, Michael Clark Duncan. And in just a few minutes, we're going to talk to Jessica Chobot, who, by the way, I don't think we've ever had on before. She's on Attack of the Show, of course, just as wrapping up the week at CES in Las Vegas. Got a lot of cool gadgets to talk about, including glasses-free 3D TVs, which apparently are looking better and better this year, Kevin.
I was just checking Twitter, and there seem to be some fans of hers that are excited
yes.
to hear her.
She appears to be popular. Yes. I wonder why. It must be her deep knowledge of electronics.
Sure. Let's talk about Justin Bieber for a second. Let's go the exact opposite way.
Okay.
He's in the February issue of V Magazine, which I'm not exactly sure what that is. V like in victory? I don't know.
I don't either.
Is that Vagina Magazine? What is it?
Well, if Justin Bieber's on the cover, maybe. I thought it was some sort of like fashion magazine or something like that, but I don't know. It looks too high-end for me.
Well, Justin Bieber has a giant Jesus tattoo on his leg.
Uh-oh.
On his calf. A giant picture of Jesus. And he's talking about his faith, and he's talking about other celebrities. A lot of people who are religious, I think they get lost, and they just show up to church just to show up to church. He says, I don't need to show up to church. I talk to the big man myself.
Oh, I see. Direct line.
Yeah, so I don't need church. And then he says, now that I'm on top, everybody wants to bring me down. Now he's starting to talk about his career and his haters. Everyone's trying to tug at me and take my spot. Like Floyd Mayweather. He's been the best boxer in the world. Now he's a champion. Every time he goes into a fight, people are like, he's going to lose this time. And he keeps talking about how he's just like Floyd Mayweather, who is the champion of the world, as is Bieber. And now he's got a lot of haters that are trying to bring him down.
Oh, dear God.
Look, Bieber has been successful, but for a very short amount of time. I don't think there are very many artists who are going into the studio going, oh, I gotta knock off Justin Bieber. I don't think he's the target right now.
Got to get Bieber's spot. I must take it.
Well, we wanted to find out more about these controversial new quotes and find out how Justin is going to handle being 18 in a few weeks. So he joins us now on the Kevin and Bean Show.
We grabbed the wrong number.
What's happening? Justin?
Hello?
Justin?
It's not working, yo. It's not working, yo.
It's working fine. Justin, we can hear you fine. It's Kevin and Bean. How are you, son?
Oh, how's it going, eh?
It's what's good. Going on? Where are you? What's that noise?
I'm in my house, eh?
But we hear mugs chanting or some kind of
singing. Yeah,
that's
what I like to roll to now, yo. Because I'm here like in the Church of Bieber, yo.
I see.
I'm direct in line with the big guy, you know?
So you don't go to church. Church comes to you.
That's right, yo. Because I'm like Floyd Money Mayweather.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to knock me down. But I got the big man on my side, yo.
Right.
Yo.
We heard you.
We're here. Justin, okay. We hear you fine. It just seems a tiny bit arrogant to say, I don't need to go to church. I mean, that's part of the deal is you go and you worship with people. I mean, that's in the Bible as they say you should do that.
But not when you roll with JC, yo.
Well, I think a lot of people consider themselves, quote, rolling with JC, but still go to church.
But JC sits next to me in the battle act, yo.
That's not true.
It is. I picked him up on an off ramp.
Yeah, he's not on the off ramp.
No, there was a guy there with the robes, and he had long hair and a beard. And
right.
I said, "Yo,
right.
JC, get in the passenger seat."
Yeah. Uh-huh. Right.
And now he lives homeless. In a shed in my back.
Did he ask for some food?
Yeah, sure.
That's weird, huh?
What? You won't give Jesus food?
Well, it seems like
that's
he could make his own.
That's why you don't roll with JC, yo.
It seems like he could make his own.
It wasn't Jesus. You just kidnapped a homeless person. That's what happened there, Justin.
Oh, that's why he kept saying his name was Phil.
Well,
yeah,
that makes sense.
There you have the problem.
So, how do you contact God? I mean, do you just close your eyes and think about it, or do you hear a voice or see a vision? What happens?
I do it through music.
Through music,
because that's what I'm all about.
Right,
and that's how I commune with God.
Okay,
I usually go, JC, 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 oh! And next thing you know, we're talking about stuff.
What do you talk about?
We talk about
thank you.
How people are haters,
uh-huh.
How they want to knock me down because I'm on top.
Uh-huh.
Everyone wants to bring me down.
Are you sure you want to compare yourself to Floyd Mayweather?
Well, I'm as good a boxer, too, as Floyd Mayweather.
No.
You're not.
No.
I am,
that's
yo.
True.
I don't know that anyone is.
Growing up in the mean streets of Watts, I had to
you
really
but you didn't grow up in
learn
Watts.
How to use my fists, yo.
No, you grew up in a middle to upper class home in Canada.
Watch Canada, yo. That's what I meant.
You don't know
Canada.
Listen.
You don't know what that's all about.
What about the tattoo? Now, I haven't seen a photo of this. Tell me about the. I hear it's an enormous Jesus tattoo.
On my left calf, I do have a tattoo of JC.
But
on
it's
my,
like
on my calf.
6-7 inches. It's not like one of those tiny little ones.
Well, I don't have. My calf's not that big.
Right,
so
but
it just
I'm,
looks big, I think.
Okay. All right.
But it's a portrait of JC.
Uh-huh.
And he's got, like, bling on. He's got, like, grill. Yo.
Do you think JC has a grill?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, and he's got, like, a crown of thorns, but it's all made of platinum. Platinum thorns, yo.
See, I don't think that was a positive moment in his life where he's showing
driving,
off
like,
his...
a Battleac chariot
no.
race.
No.
Go see Pontius Pilate. What's that all about?
You might want to do a little research before you start talking about religion.
Well, now I got that tattoo on me. I'm afraid we're going to break up.
Yeah, well.
That usually happens.
Usually does happen
right,
when you put someone's tattoo on you.
I got Jesus written on my torso, and I got his face on my calf.
Yeah. It's over.
I'm thinking about getting John the Baptist on my butt.
Why? Why would you do that?
I don't know. Sounds fun.
All right. Well, at least you're giving this some deep, serious thought, as it deserves, Justin.
You know when I went to get St. Peter?
Where?
No, we don't. No, we don't.
Where? What's that
all about?
Figure it out.
106.7 KROQ, and it is 6:38. This is the Kevin and Bean Show.
Very exciting times. Coachella tickets going on sale tomorrow. 10 a.m., two big weekends in April this time around. We're going to give you some tickets next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Check this out. You not only win tickets to go to Coachella, weekend of your choice, but then you're in the grand prize drawing that we do Tuesday for K-Rock World Tour 2012, destination number 2, to see Radiohead again, this time in the south of France.
That's too much for one person.
I agree. Anyway, win those tickets next hour, and then we got another pair for you later on, too. So that's on the way here from the Kevin and Bean Show. Also, actor Will Arnett in minutes. First... How about our next guest, Jessica Chobot, making her first appearance on the Kevin and Bean Show from CES Las Vegas. Yep. Jessica, attack of the show, G4. How are you, my dear?
Good. How are you guys?
How incredibly tired of people are you?
Oh, my God. So much so. You have no idea.
Oh, you go to the CES show. I've been there several times, and you wait for a cab in a line. I'm not kidding. That is 500 people long.
Yeah.
I know that. Well, you know, this year I've been lucky. They upgraded me, and we had a van that would pick us up in the back and take us there. So I got really, really lucky. But I don't feel too bad about that because I did definitely spend, you know, the previous 5 years.
You've
of,
done your time
in that line.
You've done your
that's
time.
A lot of people don't know this, but that's how you know you've made it in show business is when they give you a van to ride in. That's good times. So Jessica, every year, of course, you know, geeks all over the world like us and like you, we get excited about CES because it's the next big thing. I feel like this has not been a banner year of headlines coming out of there with, oh my God, you're not going to believe what I just saw. It seems like there's some nice advancements in products we're already loving, but nothing like new that everybody's talking about. Am I wrong about that?
No, I actually think you're very right about that. CES, just from a personal experience, seems to go through a 5 to 6 year kind of cycle where every 5 years is when the big new thing kind of happens.
Right.
That's when everybody talks about it, and then they spend the rest of the years kind of trying to improve upon it.
I was there when HDTV was the big thing, and I mean every single booth had a high-def television. You walk from one to one going, wow, man, that looks great. Wow,
Then it was
2 years later before I could buy one.
Yeah, I mean, and that's just the way, that's actually just kind of just the way it goes. And you notice that every year, it's like you said, there was HDTV, then OLED became really popular.
Tell us about OLED, because that's big this year too, right?
That's very big this year.
Explain what OLED is to people.
So OLED actually stands for Organic Light Emitting Diodes. And what that basically means is it's not necessarily just a pixel that you would pass an image through. These diodes themselves actually form the image within themselves. They all have, and what's coming out now is a super OLED, which basically means that each of those diodes has its own RGB spectrum within it. So that allows you to have a super, super thin TV because you don't need any kind of a backlighting or a projection or anything of that nature. So that whole back rear of the TV is pretty much null and void at this point.
It's like an eighth of an inch thick and looks, you know, three times as good as HD. It's unbelievable.
But, wow.
I can't even imagine anything looking three times better than HD, because if you've got yourself a relatively new good HD TV, you look at it and you go, it can't get any better than that.
Well, you know, I mean, they also have things like Toshiba, well, quite a few TVs had this, but they had one where you can actually go four times 1080p.
That's the best HD there is, and you can do four times.
I can't even imagine how much more high def one can get.
How deaf do you need?
Right. Look, people aren't that good looking. We don't need to see that much of them. What about, speaking of televisions, what about the glasses-free 3D TV? Is this actually becoming a reality? Because that would be a game changer.
You know, I think it's getting to the point where it is. Toshiba, I saw one over there that was absolutely awesome. It was one of the ones where in your normal viewage it was the four times 1080p. If you switched over to 3D, you still got 720p. But what ended up happening with it is you have 720p for up to 9 people, glasses free. Now you're still kind of locked into those positions on the couch that we've had in the past where you can't really move around. What's nice about that though is the TV itself up at the top actually guides you into the position you need to be in to get the best 3D experience. And then if you decide, okay, well, I'm not going to have my friends over. I just want to watch it myself in 3D. Now, and to me, the next thing is where it really kind of becomes a game changer. You can switch it over so that it has facial recognition because there's a camera actually built into the frame that,
right.
That will lock onto your face. And then anywhere you move on that couch, it will adjust itself and the 3D image so you can see it at all times and not have to be locked into a position.
That sounds awesome. How long will it be before that's A, available to most of us, and B, affordable to most of us?
Well, they didn't give us a price. Which
bad, that's a bad sign.
That's kind of how it goes at CES,
right.
Unfortunately. But they did say they were looking at having it out later this year.
Really?
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
This is the voice of Jessica Chobot here on the Kevin and Bean Show from G4's Attack of the Show and X-Play. We're talking about the 2012 CES convention going on right now in Las Vegas, wrapping up on Friday. I went shopping for a new car recently, Jessica, and one feature, I didn't end up buying an Audi, but one feature that Audi had that I was so excited about was the car itself was a wireless hub, gave you the opportunity to be on the internet in your car. And I thought, aren't we at the point now where wireless should be easy to put anywhere? I mean, I don't understand how technology works, but did you hear much about that, about not having to go looking for hotspot, being able to have a hotspot in your pocket? Is that a thing that's happening?
You know, I mean, I suppose so. I mean, you know, being able to access wireless at all times, you know, there's so many iPads out there and tablets and things of that nature. I mean, it's just, it would behoove everyone to make that happen. I don't know if I agree with being able to access the internet in your car, though.
No, no, that's a good idea. That way, when you're driving, you can be searching for stuff.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about being able to stream internet radio and things like that. I mean, I'd want to use it, you know. But it seems like, and I know they have some workarounds. I know they have little things you can buy and hook it up, you know, with your phone service and stuff like that. But it just seems like that's the type of thing. I mean, it's crazy to me in 2012 that there are places you go in the United States where you can't use wireless. That's why I'm asking the question.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, at this point, I think that wireless should pretty much be everywhere. Unfortunately, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean you're not going to be able to find a hot or have to deal with a hotspot, because they want to make money.
Sure.
So they're going to always try and make you pay for it.
We're talking to Jessica Chobot, Attack of the Show, also on X Play. I have two more questions for you. I know we're running short on time, but tell me about the Sony Bloggy Live.
So that was actually really cool. I was pretty impressed with it. You know, up to this point, there's been flip cams have kind of died out, and I'm feeling like this might be a bit of a replace for that. It's a 1080p video. It's really cool. It live streams directly to Quick, which is a free service. So, you know, if you're big into blogging, you want to go ahead and have a like show on the road, you can do it while you're just sitting anywhere, really.
So if you're, for example, you're at CES, I can watch you talk about stuff, walk around, look at stuff live as you do it.
Yeah, absolutely. As long as you're tuned into Quick, you can do that.
And tell me about Erasma. Am I saying that right?
Erasma
is some kind of a photography. What is it? I mean, how did
this is a visual web browser, basically. I've seen a demonstration of this before where you basically take a picture of something on your phone, and then all of the visual images, rather than having to type in the words, it will actually start bringing you up information online about the things that your camera or phone is looking at. And it's kind of a new sort of virtual browser. Did you see much about that there?
You know, I didn't. I actually was focused more on the TVs and the tablets. I didn't see that. I, oddly enough, saw a fridge.
You saw a fridge? Oh!
We've never really covered home appliances before, so that one was a bit of a shock.
No, that fridge, though, tell us about that quickly. That looks awesome.
It was pretty awesome. LG had a fridge that it has a compartment in it where if you toss in a 12-ounce can, it will, in 5 minutes, make it icy, icy cold.
Oh, my gosh.
Nice.
8 minutes. And if you want to do a bottle of wine or vodka or whatever, it can get it cold in 8 minutes. And it doesn't get any crystals forming on it because there's like a rocker at the bottom of it that keeps the ice crystals from forming.
It's called a blast chiller.
Huge. It's a huge fridge. It's like it carries 50 gallons of milk, which is just insane.
50 gallons? What are you saving up for the end of the world?
I mean, I would like fill it up with Mountain Dew, but apparently sure. If you're really into milk, you can fit it all in there.
All right, we're out of time. Tell us, is there something that we've missed that you were excited about at CES?
Oh, I really liked the Sharp Aquas Freestyle. It's a nice, really thin LED TV. It goes from like 20 to 60 inches. It's about, the 20-inch one was 5.5 pounds. It's super, super light. You literally can carry it with you anywhere in the room. It has a built-in Wi-Fi, HDMI port, 1080p, and you can stream anything you want in any room as long as you're in a 90-foot range.
Wow.
Wow, yeah. That is amazing.
And the 60-inch, what I like about it is the 60-inch one is still light enough that, you know, one person can go ahead and mount it on the wall. So it's not like you have to get five people to help you, you know, try and hang this thing.
Girls listening right now, just so you know, Jessica is talking porn to us. To us guys.
This is the hottest conversation I've ever been a part of.
Well, I feel like I should be paying for this conversation.
Exactly. All right. Well, we do have to go here. Attack of the Show, weeknights at 4 on G4 and then X-Play at 3:30, I guess. Jessica is a correspondent on both, and you can read her in Maxim and all over the place. I'm glad we got a chance to catch up with you. Thanks so much for the report from Las Vegas. We'll talk to you again one day, I hope.
All right. Absolutely.
Thank you, Jessica. Thank you, Lisa. We have Will Arnett coming up in a second. We have tickets for Coachella coming up.
Wow.
Dr. Drew coming up all in the next hour.
Wow.
Too much, right?
Wow.
Time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
Will Arnett and his comedy Up All Night was nominated for a People's Choice Award last night.
That's the big one.
People's
That's the
Choice.
One you want. When you get into show business, that's what you dream about.
The People's Choice. Oh, they should just call them the effing BS Awards. That's what they should call them. This goddamn award show. Just stop it. Just stop it. Stop airing it. Stop asking people what they like. I don't care what the people like. Because most of the people are dumbasses.
Well, it's not. It's most of the people who respond to a questionnaire like this.
I don't want to hear about the opinion of anyone who is voting for anything from the back of a TV guide. I don't care what they have to say. They eat cat food for the best part. They live in a trailer. They're hoarders. And they have no friends because they're taking time out to vote for something out of a TV guide. Stop it. Want to hear some of the results from last night's show?
Sure.
Just to back me up, a little evidence for the prosecution, Your Honor.
Is this the nominations or is this
the
wins?
These are the winners.
The wins.
I will give you the nominees and then I will give you the winner.
Okay.
To show you what last night's effing BS awards presented us with. For example, I just mentioned Up All Night was nominated for best favorite new TV comedy, right?
Right.
Alongside with Suburgatory, New Girl.
New Girl runs away with that one.
Last Man Standing. Oh, no.
Right.
Two Broke Girls. Two Broke Girls was the big winner last night.
One?
Two Broke Girls, yeah.
A little low.
No, it's okay.
Better.
There we go.
Really?
How about favorite cable TV comedy?
Wait, listen, over New Girl?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Listen to these choices. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Nurse Jackie, Royal Pains, and Weeds were some of the nominees.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Big winner last night. Hot in Cleveland. Hot in Cleveland, your big winner. Ladies and gentlemen, Hot in Cleveland.
That's the one with 150-year-old Betty White?
Yep.
All right, good.
Favorite network TV drama? Oh, listen to these choices. The Good Wife, nominated, of course. Grey's Anatomy. Okay. House.
All right.
The Vampire Diaries.
Good.
The winner, Supernatural. Supernatural was the winner. Over The Good Wife and House.
I think this just tells you who votes more than anything. Don't you think?
The age group or the type of person who votes?
Favorite cable TV drama? Dexter. Game of Thrones. True Blood.
Amazing shows.
White Collar.
Winner, 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 winner.
No, last night's winner was Pretty Little Liars. Pretty Little Liars.
Yeah.
Well, this is teenagers then. That's all we're talking about here, right?
I guess.
Would have to be.
Favorite movie superhero? Was it Captain America? Chris Evans as Captain America? Chris Hemsworth as Thor? James McAvoy as Professor X? Jennifer Lawrence as Mystique? No, it was Ryan Reynolds as Green Lantern. And all you need to know really was the favorite drama movie awards last night. Here are some of your nominees. The Adjustment Bureau, The Help, Limitless, Moneyball. The big winner? Water for Elephants.
Yeah!
No.
Yeah.
Oh,
no.
Girl.
No, no, no,
our
no.
Pats? Nope. Our Pats rules.
Nope.
I love you, Edward.
Nope. Really?
Stop it. Stop it. CBS, stop airing it. Stop asking people. Stop. Just let it. Just stop the whole thing.
Stop it.
People's Choice Awards. People. The dumbass Choice Awards.
Wow. Really? You would take a look at, we in this room would take a look at that and pick the worst of the five, and that's the one that won every time.
Yeah, absolutely. Never underestimate the power of the bat.
The power of the bat.
Yes.
Is that because you're a Batman fan?
Indeed. The movie doesn't even open until July 20th. This, of course, I'm talking about is the Dark Knight Rises. The
looks so good.
Final in the Christopher Nolan Batman trilogy. The midnight IMAX showings of that film are already sold out.
What?
You can't go if you want to.
They're already selling them? When is it? May 20th?
July
20th.
July 20th. July 20th. Sold out.
You're
midnight showing sold
July
out.
20th?
Who plans that early? I could be dead by then.
Well, there's always hope. But don't even think about going midnight if you want to see Dark Knight Rises on an IMAX screen, because those showings are sold out.
Wow.
People very excited about that. And congratulations to Blue Ivy Carter. We were joking yesterday, but I guess it counts.
Jay-Z's son.
Daughter.
Sorry. Daughter.
Daughter. Yeah.
Daughter.
Billboard announced that Blue Ivy Carter is the youngest person ever to score a hit on the Billboard Hot 100. Gave her that distinction yesterday.
Oh, man.
That's a Jay-Z song?
Jay-Z song's Glory, featuring Blue Ivy, or B.I.C. as she's credited on the track, is currently charting at number 74 on the Hot 100. And Billboard said that makes Blue Ivy Carter the youngest artist ever to score a single in the top 100.
The numbers get smaller, the hits get bigger.
Yeah. A little bit of that.
The most amazing feeling I feel. Words can't describe, but the feeling for real. Baby, I paint the sky blue. My greatest creation was you.
Wow, man.
False alarms and false starts.
How did he rhyme feel and real and blue and you? He put a lot of work into this.
And then at the end
of it, her work is really outstanding.
Well, at the end
for
of it,
for a young up-and-coming artist, she has a gift.
At the end of it, for about 20 seconds, you hear her crying.
Yes.
So that's
her contribution to the track.
That's her hit.
So congratulations, Blue Ivy Carter.
I already like her better than whip my hair back and forth.
Congratulations, Notorious B.I.C. Today's celebrity birthdays, Naya Rivera, or Naya Rivera from Glee. 25 years old today. She's, of course, Santana on that show.
Yes, she is.
Gemma Arterton from Quantum of Solace is 26.
Yes, she is.
Melanie C., Sporty Spice from the Spice Girls, is 38. Zach De Rocha from Rage Against the Machine is 42 years old today. I'm just trying to get on Chip's nerves. And the other can't roll her R's.
She can't roll her R's at all.
Musician.
She's very white.
Musician and director.
So's Ralph.
Rob Zombie is 47. Actor Oliver Platt is 52. And Kirstie Alley from Cheers fame is 61 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Got a chance for you to win your own tickets for Coachella, your choice of weekends. Coming up later this half hour on the Kevin and Bean Show, Dr. Drew joins us, comedian Eddie Iff, to actor Michael Clark Duncan. This is a lot of show for us. Right now, though, we're going to bring Will Arnett on. I want everybody to be kind of nice to him. He's got to be pretty down after losing the People's Choice Award last night. It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough for a guy who puts his heart and soul into his work and then to walk away empty-handed at the People's Choice Awards. I mean, I don't know how he's going to go on, but let's try to ease him back into reality here. Hi, Will. Sorry, dude.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hey, you cool?
Are you okay? Do you need some help?
Oh, my God. I am so pumped at losing that award last night. It's such a chump award.
Finally.
By winning that award, you are admitting defeat.
You're sealing your doom.
Finally, somebody is coming out and saying what we've all known to be true.
Free of that.
You were probably very upset that you were even nominated. And then last night, you had to be sitting on the couch going, please don't win, please don't win, please don't win.
By the way, who are the people that choose again? Is it Hollywood publicists and agents?
We can't figure that out. We think people who get the back of the TV guide and they're sitting on their couch.
I don't think so.
I don't know. I think you're fine.
I'm very, very happy for the people who won. I don't want to take away from their glory.
And let's face it, Will, and we'll move on after this. We all know that Water for Elephants was the best drama movie of last year. So, I mean, clearly, they've got their finger on the pulse, right?
Sure. Well, I mean, you know, just apart from the fact that they need water is, you know, right there says it all. What a great movie, you said.
Yes, yes.
Sounds amazing and should have won.
That's right. All right. Help me out here. I watch Up All Night. I don't see every episode. I've seen it quite a bit, though. But it hasn't always been on Thursday nights, right? Is this a new thing? Because my DVR does the work for me. Well, I don't know what day anything's on anymore.
Sure. Yeah. No, we're moving to Thursday. We're part of the Thursday night. We're the caboose now on the Thursday night comedy train over here on NBC.
Okay. Oh, sweet.
Yeah. And somebody's got to bring up the rear. And they figured I'm good at that.
Sure.
So they popped us on the end there, and we're excited because we used to be on Wednesdays, and now we're right after The Office.
Now, is this the new plan to move shows enough that they get lost?
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, look, they sat down, they said, listen, gang, the audiences aren't confused enough about when our shows are on. We need to mix the deck up. No, I think that, you know, the truth of it is, we were on Wednesday nights, and I think that they wanted to give us an opportunity to be, I don't know. They want to, you know, we're maybe more in line with some of their Thursday night comedies because we are not a live audience show,
right.
Et cetera, et cetera. So that's why they moved us. You know, we're excited about it. I think that it's kind of, we're now maybe in a place that that suits us.
Let me ask you a semi-serious question, Will Arnett, although you're wacky and we enjoy the laughs. I'm glad you brought that up about how you're not a live audience show. I'm getting to the point, because of a lot of these shows on Thursday night, like yours and like Wifey's show and The Office and this, I'm getting to the point where I almost can't watch a show anymore with an audience or a laugh track. It kills me at this point to hear how fake it sounds. And shows like yours seem like the ones that I'm so much more comfortable with. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that there are a lot of things. You know, first of all, it's a it is an old, it seems like an archaic way of doing it. Now, there are lots of great, I mean, you know, history's had tons of really hilarious comedies that were done in front of a live audience. And, you know, Cheers was amazingly hilarious, and we all laughed. All in the Family was an audience show. But then what happened was, I think that we started to, we've just evolved in the same way that the comedy has evolved, so has the audience. And we're like, okay, well, we're past that. It used to be that the laugh track sometimes for shows that weren't even, maybe were not as funny as All in the
that
Family.
That was the mistake.
Well, they ended up using the laugh track as a guide, like, you're supposed to laugh here. And oh, that's
would,
a joke.
Yeah, and they would over-laugh over something that wasn't even a chuckle.
Yeah, that's always embarrassing.
Yeah, but your show doesn't do that, and we appreciate that.
Well, we're trying. We might have to. Listen.
We don't laugh, but I'm saying it's good not to have the laugh track.
Yeah, sure.
We're talking with actor Will Arnett here on The Kevin Amin Show. Up all night now on Thursday nights at 9:30. It's a very funny show. Christina Applegate, who, by the way, I mean, she has been doing great comedy work for 25 years. It's unbelievable how funny she is on this show. Maya Rudolph, of course, is also on the show. I think we have a clip. You get an idea of the chemistry of this married couple involved in Up All Night.
Okay. Did you want to talk about your sacrifices?
Oh, Christopher, you are so intuitive. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not really upset about his ex-wife being there, even though she is an obsessed man-eater who does not know when to quit. It's just that I've never really cared about a guy this way since ever, I guess.
Ava, I guess that's... It's just the love stuff, right?
You always know what to say, Chris.
Love it.
Well, you play dumb so well, my friend.
Thank you, I guess.
And let me ask you one more thing before we let you go. I was tuning in, of course, for Portlandia last week, because everybody loves that. And I stuck around a little bit for the misadventures, I guess, of Todd Margaret that you are also co-starring on.
Yes.
Is that the foulest work you've ever done? Have you ever been involved in anything as filthy as that show?
Well, let me put it this way. There are so many things in that show that I wouldn't want my mom to hear me saying, such as, like, you know, I will punch you back up, you know,
right.
Blank, blank, blank.
Right.
It's definitely, it was pretty rough stuff. We shot that whole series over in London, and it was, you know, they loved the blue material over there. But every night when we'd wrap and I'd go home, I would say to David Cross, I was like, man, I got to tell you, I'm so depressed. It would make me feel so bad. Because I spent all day, the guy, you know, Spike Jonze is in the director, he's in it, and most of my scenes involve me swearing at him.
Right. Yes, yes.
And I said, I've just spent the entire day putting somebody down in the most awful way. I feel terrible. It was like my soul is rotted from the inside. But actually, that show I'm really excited about. We have, you know, coming up, the next few episodes are really, really great. David Cross outdid himself this year. It's really super funny. And the end of the show is spectacular. I urge people, if you're a fan of Portlandia, stick around for Todd Margaret.
Yeah, and if you're a fan of Arrested Development, you want to see David Cross and Will Arnett back together again. It is a very funny show on IFC right after Portlandia. And then, of course, Up All Night airs Thursday nights, part of the Thursday night lineup on NBC. That's tonight at 9:30. Will, we love you, man. It's always great to have you on The Kevin Amin Show.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for losing last night. We appreciate it.
Okay, you got it.
Okay, bye. All right, let's talk about Coachella, shall we?
Okay.
Yes.
If you'd like to go, you're going to have to play a game. 1-800-520-1067. We're going to do a little title fight, and we'll do that. Made the announcement that Anthony Kiedis has to have foot surgery, so they're going to have to put off their tour next year. They're going to start in January. I think it's going to start much later in the year, but they will make them up, and they will play all those shows.
Okay.
Although that's technically this year, but you can get all those details at KROQ.com or RedHotChiliPeppers.com. I'll tell you a concert that is happening for two big weekends in April is Coachella 2012. We are going to give away tickets right now with a little game we like to call the Kevin and Bean Title Fight.
Presenting Kevin and Bean's Title Fight. Two people enter the ring. Only one leaves with the tickets. Let's get ready to go to a concert.
Now, the Black Keys are headlining the Friday night show, Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg the Sunday night show, but this morning we're going to focus on Radiohead. They are the headliners for the Saturday night, so they'll be playing on Saturday, April 14th, and then again the following weekend on Saturday, April 21st. So we're going to play a Radiohead title fight game, and if you win, you get your choice of which weekend you'd like to go see the band at Coachella.
Explain title fight for people who haven't heard.
Title Fight is basically where Dave and Lisa are going to be pairing up with contestants on the line. We'll have two contestants this time around, and our guys are going to be trying to get them to say the name of Radiohead songs. All the answers will be Radiohead songs, but they have to do it without using any of the words in the title. So basically, we have 45 seconds on the clock. You try to name as many as you can in that time. If you both name the same, then we see who does it faster. So I think it will make itself clear as we get into it and meet our contestants. And our first contestant is our man, Robert. He's on line three. He gets us going here on the title fight on the Kevin DeBean Show. Hey, Robert, how you doing, man?
Good morning, guys. Lisa May.
Good morning, Robert.
You didn't know until just now Dave. We were going to be talking about Radiohead. How do you feel about that? You feel like you're fairly confident with their song titles?
I'm pretty confident.
Okay. Good luck. Let's meet Fernando next. He's our next contestant on line six.
Hey, Fernando.
I want Lisa.
You don't want to go then.
You obviously heard the game before.
He didn't even say hello. He just wants Lisa.
Well, you want her what? Like for the game
we
or
don't want Lisa?
Yeah. Fernando, we're going to give you Lisa and we're going to make you go first. How about that? So the pressure is on now. 45 seconds on the clock. Lisa again will be describing song titles that she has not seen until this moment as she opens the envelope in front of her. So she has had no time to prepare. She's going to try to get you to come up with the name of Radiohead songs. You ready to play?
Ready.
There you go. Good luck.
All right. This is a guy that just makes your skin crawl as soon as you see him.
Great.
Yep.
It's like here, but it's not here. It's
there.
Yep.
These are like shrubs, but they're really big and they're not
great
real.
Classic trees.
Uh huh. Wow. This is someone who steals from the morgue. They steal the. You're really excited about something, and then you find out it's not going to happen, and then you feel it's like a real bummer.
Pass.
Okay, what's the opposite of up?
Down.
Uh-huh, okay, and you're feeling really...
Nope. Oh, nice try. You were shooting. You were looking for Let Down is what you were looking for, and the stealing from the morgue was Body Snatchers, which I thought was a perfect clue, Lisa, but unfortunately, Fernando did not come up.
Yeah, you got suck,
he
Fernando.
Was on fire in the beginning.
He was.
So
you were good, Lisa.
You got three. I mean, three is three. I mean, look, you could win with three, man. We don't know how it's going to go with Robert.
So.
So you hang on.
You don't let me down, buddy. Let's go, Robert.
Hey, it's a little late for Fernando to be looking for Dave for some help when he could have picked Dave, right?
I'm the one who's 51, so let's do this.
You're not that crazy.
Yeah, I got upset last week.
Fernando, by the way, brought up something I forgot to explain in the rules, and that is if you do blank, if you don't have an answer, you can go ahead and pass, and then, you know, you can always go back to it if you have time at the end. All right, Robert, how are you feeling about your chances now? You got three to beat here.
Let's do this, Dave.
All right.
Sorry.
All right.
That was a false start.
Ready?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. All right. These people could be the cops, but...
they're Karma Police.
That's right. Not low and wet, but...
High and dry.
Yep. All right. If you're crazy and a robot...
You're an idiotech?
No, you're scared and a robot.
Pass.
All right. This is... I don't know what this is. Like, it's like a...
Oh, I know the other one.
Okay, what is it?
Paranoid Android.
Yes. All right, I'm going to skip this one. Let's see. Something. Crap. All right, you could stab with these.
Knives out.
Yep.
Yeah! Ladies and gentlemen, we have a winner. He came up with four. Wow.
Nice.
By the way, there was no chance in a million years Dave was ever going to come up with lotus flower. I'll tell you that.
No way.
He could have got flower, but that's it.
I mean, there's no way to get lotus.
Yeah. Robert, you are an outstanding contestant. By the way, so was Fernando. Both really, really good
Fernando
players.
Sucked.
Fernando doesn't have to go. I know that.
He can buy tickets tomorrow at 10.
Sorry, Fernando.
Next time.
Congratulations, Robert. We'll see you at Coachella.
Thanks.
Michael Clark Duncan on the way on the Kevin DeBean Show today. Also, funny man Eddie Ift will be here. And we have a brand new internet roundup for you, too, including some crazy videos this week. A particularly crazy batch, I think, this week coming up. Let's have Dave run in real quick. Have Chip continue to try to dial Dr. Drew up because we're supposed to talk to him in a second. But Dave has just been on fire today. You know how Dave, he's always been, Clipper fan number one. But now that he has something to be excited about, we can't shut him up. He won't stop talking about the Clippers.
We couldn't shut him up before when he didn't have anything to cheer about. Now that they've got an amazing team, he's going crazy.
How many people showed up to see the Clippers beat Miami last night, Dave? It looked like a pretty full house.
Everybody.
The city of Los Angeles.
You know, the Clippers do something that the Lakers can never do. Beat Miami.
We beat Miami, bitch.
Could that the Lakers could never do.
But you're
saying never.
Never. Uh-huh. Ever.
Okay.
Remember Christmas Day last year? Miami came in and won by like 16.
Really? There was a game last year that the Lakers lost? Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know what?
I'll accept a smack talk from a Clipper fan after they've won, I don't know, 8 championships. I'll go 8, even though we have more.
How many championships have they won in the last 2 seasons?
The Clippers? None.
No, Lakers.
Clippers in their history.
Okay, whatever history. That's the past. Talk about the future. Present, man. Come on.
All right. All right. How about a little less smack talk from Dave and a little more Dr. Drew, who's actually on the phone now. We may have to get back to Dave later because we do want to play your Clipper song today, which, by the way, we debuted a few days ago here on the Kevin DeBean Show. Phenomenal response from Clipper fans and non-Clipper fans alike, Dave. People are loving your song.
Take it easy.
I know.
Phenomenal.
I'm telling you.
Was there any doubt?
It's been lukewarm at best.
I saw it with my own eyes. All right, Dave. Now that we have Drew, we're going to kick you out the door. Dr. Drew, welcome back, my friend. How are you?
I'm great. Sorry about that.
No worries.
I didn't realize until yesterday, following you on the Twitter feed, Dr. Drew, that you got your doctor's papers. What do they call it?
What?
your degree from USC. I didn't even know that. I never heard that before.
Well, Bean, last I spoke to you, you were not even giving me the benefit of the doubt that perhaps I had a medical degree.
He kept saying he's not a real doctor, and I would say, of course he is.
Yes, believe me, I heard all about it from my Twitter followers who said now it's been proven that you are, in fact, a doctor because you got your license from USC. Congratulations there. All right, couple things I wanted to talk to you about. Of course, Dr. Drew is the host of the Life Changer show on the CW weekday afternoons at 3 and then the HLN show at 6. You had 2 fascinating shows recently, Drew, that I wanted to ask you about. One is, tell me about TLC's I Cloned My Pet. You talked to the lady that they deal with in that episode of that show.
Yes, that was bizarre. This woman, for something like $100,000, there's an organization in South Korea that will take the DNA from your pet.
Yes.
Kevin loves this.
I'm saying South Korean pets don't exactly go together. But
no, listen, and that's the crazy part about this. In order for them to create one dog that is the spitting image of yours. Now, mind you, this poor woman, I mean, she was so kind of silly about this. When the puppy came to her from South Korea, she looked at the dog and went, oh, do you remember me? Like, as though it was the same dog reborn. Yeah, yeah. And I sort of addressed this with her. I said, you know, there's a part of you that's not really working in reality. And she goes, oh, no. I was just being silly. Turned out her mother had died. Her dog had died. She just couldn't deal with the grief. She had this dog cloned. But this is the point. To get one dog to look like your dog, they have to sacrifice, at least this one researcher was telling me, possibly dozens of other dogs at these dog farms. And guess what? Well, because you have to find a dog. You have to inject the DNA into the
egg. You have to get the right mixture or whatever.
Oh, God.
And you have to implant that egg in a surrogate mom, you know, surrogate dog.
Did you crush that woman by telling her that?
No, she denied the whole thing. But listen, in South Korea, dog farms aren't just used for reproduction, right? No.
Right.
They're used for food.
They're used for dinner.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
buffet, right.
So the whole thing was very, very difficult and unsavory. But there you go. You can have your dog back with you for a mere $100,000.
So you're saying you can have your dog and eat it, too?
Kevin, you're a genius. you're actually a genius.
But you're mentally unstable if that's what you choose to do. Look, even if you've got all the money in the world, there's something wrong with you if you think that's your dog, right?
I don't know if I'm mentally unstable, but there's some issues.
I think every single person that appears on TLC is mentally unstable. I love that channel.
You know, but practically all of television has become popular.
I love that channel.
Including HLN weeknights at 6, by the way. Yeah, get a free dog from the pound, kids. That's where you go for your dog. All right, and the other, on a more serious tip.
That's worth repeating. I mean, there are so many dogs that need love and attention and support that are sitting in the pound right now. Go get one of those.
Absolutely. All right, Dr. Drew, you and your group of experts have had some fascinating conversations this week about these newly released psychiatry records, I guess, on Casey Anthony. Now, folks who don't remember the name, she was the one who, it appeared to the casual viewer, very clearly was involved in her daughter's disappearance and then death. She was acquitted, and she's been kind of a recluse ever since until these new videos that have come out lately that she's been filming herself at home. But what's this deal? How are these records of psychiatrists that she's talked to privately, how are they now becoming available to the public, and what are they telling us about her?
It's not as though this was some sort of private psychiatrist that Casey Anthony hired for her own benefit.
Oh.
These were court-appointed psychiatrists, one of which was to assess her competency to withstand trial.
But wait a minute. Those people can then make all of that public?
Well, and they were deposed as part of the public record. And for some reason, the court, the judge elected to put it on lockdown for a period of time. But Florida, the great state of Florida, has something called the Sunshine Law. And
every time the sun's up, they release
No, every time the sun's up, somebody's crazy in Florida because you're allowed to look into and shed the light upon the court records, and the public has access to everything, and cameras get into the courts, and so we can see the craziness that goes down in Florida. And lo and behold, he now decided to release these records, and there are two lengthy depositions from a couple of psychiatrists, both of whom they did a sort of okay job of assessing her, but both were deeply troubled about her and sort of couldn't figure it out, and then didn't go further to try to figure out what the hell was wrong with her.
They had done their part, so they just moved on?
Well, the one guy just goes, well, she's competent. You know, she's competent, but I'll tell you what, very strange that she should be so cheerful in jail, having just lost a daughter. And, oh, by the way, her MMPI, her personality testing, you know, there's no doubt in my mind that this woman has some sort of weird distortions where she's lying, and all, there's all sorts of inconsistencies in her story. And yet her MMPI was completely normal. Huh, can't figure that out.
Wow.
Anyway, she's competent.
And wasn't one of the things that came out, Dr. Drew, and maybe I read this wrong, but she talked about how she got pregnant with Casey and she had been passed out drunk at a party or something at 18 years old, which led me to think, here's not somebody who was planning for and looking forward to a child necessarily in her life.
Well, there were actually three stories in one guy's report, and this is where some of the troubling, the unsettling sort of feeling these psychiatrists got, they were left with. One was, she said it was George's baby and that he was abusing her all the time. And this
George is the father.
Yes, that was one report.
Okay.
The other was some dude that got killed in a car accident, and the other was that she was at a party, somebody slipped her a roofie, and she woke up convinced she had had sex and had no idea who she had sex with. That's what led to the child.
That's weird. What's your gut instinct telling you about how these videos are now becoming coming available to us? Because some are saying that this is a publicity campaign from Casey Anthony herself. Some are saying, no, her computer was hacked and this is private stuff that we didn't mean to see. But clearly she's talking to the camera as if she's telling a story to somebody.
Well, my gut is that these are some sort of video journal. I mean, she's actually ordered to go to some kind of counseling. And my understanding is she is in some form of treatment, which God knows she needs. And if she's in treatment, somebody could easily say to her, you know, you have some trouble understanding how you're being perceived by people. Maybe you want to do a little video journal and kind of look at how you come across, and let's sit down and assess how someone might react to you as you're talking to yourself, telling your stories. And in that case, it makes sense to me. Like, it's possible. And I don't think she would leak that kind of thing. She's way too although on the other hand, she's so cunning, maybe that's precisely the kind of thing she would release. So I'm increasingly convinced. I talked to a really good neuropsychiatrist yesterday on the show who convinced me that she is a flat-out psychopath, sociopath. And I'm beginning to go into that camp, that it may be not as much of a brain disorder as I've been thinking, and just the real deal.
Interesting. Last question for you. Why do you suppose she's still laying so low? Why hasn't she cashed in for that big money interview while people still care about it?
Well, I'm hearing that she wants to fire Jose Baez because he has been too much in the public eye, not enough of her, and that she indeed wants exactly that. And I think part of the thing is most people who contemplate getting that interview with her realize that they could have a huge public backlash.
Right.
They do.
I think anybody that paid attention to that trial fully believes she was guilty.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
And that anything she could tell us is just BS, so
right.
Why talk to her anyway? And the public doesn't want her to capitalize on what has happened. And I think most outlets don't want to suffer that backlash.
Right.
Dr. Drew is the co-host of the nationally syndicated Loveline show that airs right here on good old K-Rock Sunday through Thursday nights at 10. Don't miss Life Changers every weekday afternoon on the CW at 3. And then HLN is where you can find Dr. Drew at 6 p.m. Follow him on Twitter at Dr. Drew. Thanks, Doc. We'll talk to you next time.
And if you comment to me, no doubt Bean's minion will follow on the heels of that.
Wait, did I hear at the end of that song that Kevin is now claiming Michael Kirk Duncan is phoning in instead of coming in because he's afraid to be in the same room as Kevin?
Afraid of me. That's what my Kevin just said.
I think it was just his schedule, Kevin. He restricted him from being able to have the time to come in and be with us this
morning. Or scared.
I'm just saying.
He outweighs you by 150 pounds. Why is he afraid of you?
It's all muscle.
It's all muscle.
That doesn't mean I'm not a lean, mean fighting machine.
Actually, that's exactly what that means. You're none of those things. Lean, mean, nor fighting machine.
Michael Clark Duncan, who Kevin says throws like a girl.
Oh, it's just the least of what he says. Let's
go back. Started it.
Let's go back to the audio. I brought it in.
No,
let's just get a real quick taste of what Kevin says about Michael Clark Duncan. Of course, we'll play this for MCD when he's on the phone as well. But let's just remind the audience what Kevin said.
He could do so much better.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't know. I've seen him play. It was that him?
in the celebrity baseball game. No one throws like a girl more than him. A girl.
Or runs like a girl, or hits like a girl.
I swear to God.
Michael Clark Duncan. If you know Michael Clark Duncan, if you have any contact with his people,
he won't disagree.
Let him know that we'd like him to come in here and just beat Kevin's white ass.
You know what?
Fine.
Throwing like a girl is insulting to girls because they all throw better than him.
Oh, man.
Wow.
So it began.
I mean,
that was clearly before I knew he was going to be on the show.
Uh-huh. So who's scared of whom?
Mm-hmm. I don't know who's coming in and who's not. Who was scheduled to come in today?
Answer the question. I cannot wait for this conversation.
Who was scheduled to come in today?
Michael Clark
Who's
Duncan.
Who's not coming in today?
Michael is busy because he's got a new TV show. That's why.
Or... scared of this one.
All right. We're going to have to leave it there until next hour when he joins us. Plus, a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup right after the top of the hour. First, Ralph is here with the rest of the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday.
Zooey Deschanel.
Yes.
Who didn't win the People's Choice Award last night for Best New Comedy.
We heard from Will Arnett. That's a great thing.
Yeah, Will was pretty pleased.
I'm sure, excited about
sure Zooey is as well. She will be hosting Saturday Night Live. Coming up, she'll be doing the February 11th show with musical guest Carmen. And Channing Tatum also will be hosting in February. He'll be doing it on the 4th. And Bon Iver will be the musical guest for that particular show. Channing Tatum is a curious creature to me.
He's a blank slate to me. I don't get it. I don't get it.
I don't either, and yet now he is in every movie that is made. Yeah. And usually that takes sort of one of those breakthrough performances like Al Pacino had in Dog Day Afternoon or something, where everyone's like, oh, we have to have him in our film because he's just a brilliant, brilliant movie actor. And his demand goes through the roof. And I just don't, I can't hearken back to the performance where everybody said, oh, did you see G.I. Joe? Oh, my God. You got to get Channing Tatum in your next movie. He was so amazing.
He seems fine to me.
He's fine.
And he's
good-looking, but he's not like, oh, my God.
And he's in every movie coming out in the next 6 months.
He's a nice guy.
He's in Haywire coming out. Yeah. He's in 21 Jump Street coming out. He's in The Vow coming out. He seems to be in movie after movie after movie. He seems pleasant and fine, and he is a perfectly acceptable actor. But how is he the biggest movie star in the world right now?
I didn't see Fighting, but I remember there was a lot of buzz that he was very good in that. But that didn't seem like the type of movie that would really open a lot of doors for people either.
No, I'm at a loss. Every time I turn around, I see a new billboard with his face on it for a new movie. And look, I'm nothing against him. I want a brother to be able to earn.
Sure.
But... I'm a little perplexed by the volume and the sheer amount of work he's getting.
It is odd how Hollywood swings away and really, really hard for a long time and then before they swing in different directions. Yeah.
Look, I'm happy it's not Bradley Cooper. You know what I'm saying?
I love Bradley Cooper.
I do too, but there was a stretch there. There was a lot of everything. Him and Ryan Reynolds seemed to be in every other movie that was coming out. So it's nice to have a break from those guys, but I just don't get it. Maybe it was Step Up to the Streets. Maybe that performance and that was the thing that pushed him over the edge.
Step Up as well.
Yeah, sure.
So he and Dave probably are good friends.
They appeared together.
Together and talk.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Naya Rivera from Glee. She is Santana, the sexy cheerleader on that program. She is 25 years old today. Gemma Arterton from Quantum of Solace turns 26.
Please, at least the same number of bells.
She's pretty hot.
I mean, come on.
Melanie Chisholm, Sporty Spice of the Spice Girls. The least bell-worthy of all the Spices, by the way.
Best singer, though.
Yeah.
Maybe.
She is 38.
Who knows who the best singer of the Spice Girls is?
Well, you know me. I'm a ginger man. I'm a ginger man from way back, so I can't be asked that because I'm biased.
I don't know what's happening.
Zach De La Rocha from Rage Against the Machine is 42 years old today. Rob Zombie turns 47. Oliver Platt, speaking of talented actors, he is 52. Kirstie Alley, fresh off of her dancing on the Dancing with the Stars performance and her recent weight loss, is getting her career back. She is 61 years old. I'm Ralph Garman.
Hey, party people, thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Thursday. Less than 1 hour from right now, more tickets for you to go to Coachella and be eligible for the trip to France to see Radiohead, the K-Rock World Tour 2012 destination number 2, plus funny man Eddie Ift next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, though, time for a brand new Internet Roundup.
Click that mouse and open your browser, pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing, live so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
lot of videos up today. Not all of them have audio, so we're not going to be able to feature a lot of them. One of them is drummer playing solo and pukes. That's funny as hell.
What?
Wow. And this guy, he's drumming in what looks like a young person's orchestra, right?
Yeah.
I mean, isn't he wearing like a tux or something?
He looks like he's 10 or 11.
Yeah, pretty fancy affair. And he's just drumming his little heart out, Lisa, and then he just leans over and just yaks. And it's pretty sad.
It's like his body weight.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, it's really gross. There's a pro bowler that where the ball doesn't come out of his hand and he flips and falls on his back, stuff like that.
You never see that happen in the pros.
It's very funny. The first one that we do have a clip of, though, is Tim Tebow. All he does is win. And what they've done is they've taken announcers and they've made it into a song about Tim Tebow.
Yeah, now we played the original version of this last year in the Internet Roundup, but this is the new remix, and I think this is the one, man. This is the hit, especially now that the Broncos are in the playoffs.
Unleash Tim Tebow.
Let him go.
It's time.
Turn him loose.
Let him play. Let him play.
Right on Sunday.
And all he does is win. All he does is win.
One more day, one more win.
All he does is win game.
So that's funny, and yet I hope they don't win.
One step closer to you having to pay that listener's ticket.
Somebody took all of President Obama's speeches, all of them, had to be all of them, and edited together him singing Born This Way by Lady Gaga.
Oh, nice.
So word for word, edited it together so that it makes sense. It's not great editing, but if you got to go word for word, sometimes it's very difficult.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with loving who you are, she said, because he made you perfect, baby. So hold your head up, girl, and you'll go fun. Listen to me when I say...
Now here's where it kind of gets good.
I'm here to pull in my way, cause God makes no mistakes. I'm a bright, fresh baby. I was born this way.
What's the point of that? Please help me understand why somebody has the time to do it or why anyone would want to do it.
I don't know about the time unless you're unemployed.
Yeah, a lot of people are unemployed.
But
I mean, imagine sitting there going through 800,000 hours of C-SPAN audio looking for the president saying the word baby. Oh, I got to find a baby. He must say baby somewhere. I mean, it's crazy that they could find every word from that song.
I love that someone did it. Because I could never imagine having that kind of time, but yeah. It's funny. Return of the Farting Jedi is...
Nope.
Sounds good.
What do you mean,
nope?
How dare you? Yoda is having a conversation, and this is what it sounds like.
Dutch oven.
Yeah, they've taken Yoda talking to Luke on Dagobah, and they've added just nothing but farts, and it's very well done. But I don't need that in my life.
Dutch oven, you need that?
I don't. That doesn't make
yes,
my life.
Yes, you
better.
Do.
It doesn't.
All right, this is girls say. I'll say crap. It's the S word I can't say.
Okay.
Episode one.
Do you know anything about computers?
What's wrong with my computer?
Can you read this and see if it makes sense?
Can you look something up for me?
Could you do me a huge favor?
Could you do me a huge favor?
Could you not do that, please?
Could you pass me that blanket?
Could you turn it up a bit?
Sorry, can you just turn it down a little bit?
Okay, that's true.
It's a guy.
I've said all that stuff.
It's a guy. It's pretty funny, and he's doing all of the shh girls say. There's two of those. Then there's what girls say to gay guys.
Oh.
This is the crap girls say to gay guys.
Sorry, Batch. Do you, like, love Lady Gaga's new album?
You're, like, practically a girl.
Help me pick out something to wear. Oh, my God, you see the new Sex and the City. SJP is so fierce. This is fierce, right? You're gay. You're supposed to know these things.
That's good.
And then this is crap nobody says.
Hey, can I burn a copy of your Nickelback CD?
Twilight deserves an Oscar.
Beatles suck.
I miss Rosie O'Donnell.
Whitney is hilarious.
Yay, buffering! Yes, nausea! AIDS!
Woo, mold!
Fart.
I gotta disagree. I think there are guys that say, fart.
Yeah, that is very funny, by the way.
That is funny. Kristen Bell does a thing on Funny or Die, and she has, what is it, 127 tattoos or something?
Yes.
So she has to sit in a makeup chair for like up to 27 hours so that they cover them all up. And this is an interview with her where she's talking about what tattoo she has.
I have 214 professional tattoos, and 9 I've done myself. I have Steve Urkel on my left shoulder blade and Stefan Urkel on my right, representing the duality of man. I have a butterfly for each year the South African apartheid was enacted. Mm-hmm. So that's 72 butterflies.
It's extraordinary.
Extraordinary.
It's very funny. They show her like getting covered up as she has to do every single time she films a scene because she's practically, you know, head to toe in tattoos. And it's hilarious.
She loved her headgear when she was a kid. She had braces with headgear, so she had the headgear tattooed on her face on each side.
You got to see it. It's very funny.
And finally, Jimmy Kimmel Live. This week, an unnecessary censorship where he takes people who say normal things that do not need beeps, and he puts beeps in where they're not needed.
This week, in unnecessary censorship.
Ongoing debate over
New year, new I like this.
I understand what pork barrel politics is all about. I your you mine.
I was the one Barack Obama.
So you got that going for you. And there's a lot more on there.
All right.
It's a much longer than that as
oh
well.
God.
It's Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
Who are we playing, Inner Sandman? I have a fun fact about that.
I have a fun fact. What's wrong with me sharing a fun fact on the Kevin and Bean show once in a while?
Because you have a billion facts. None of them are fun.
Metallica, their album called Metallica, that we all know and love as the Black Album, the one that Enter Sandman is on, is the best-selling album of the last 20 years.
Yay!
Who knew?
That's a little surprising.
That is a little bit surprising. You know, when they started doing real-time sales figures with SoundScan, when that started in 1991, that's the point at which they, you know, they started keeping track for reels, not just estimates from record companies.
Right.
That album is number one of every album that's been released in the world in the last 20 years. Metallica's Black Album. How about that?
Huh.
I lost a dollar.
Dave the King of Mexico is here in the studio. We started to talk briefly last hour about the Clippers win that I was surprised to see them beat Miami in overtime because the Clippers aren't supposed to beat good teams like Miami. But apparently this is the new look Clippers for 2011-2012. Dave, you watched the whole game. Was it just as exciting as it could be?
Yes, it was. The first half was kind of slow. And Bean, let me just say that, you know, it's okay. Jump on board the bandwagon, everybody, because, you know, it is hip to clip this year.
Yeah.
So, the first half was really slow. It was really bad basketball.
Okay.
And then
both teams?
By both teams, okay. Yeah. And then in the second half, it just turned into a fantastic game.
Right.
Yeah.
It goes
going
into overtime.
Back and forth. And then going into overtime, it was even better. And then, you know, Clippers pulled it out.
Dave Kinnon yelling at me,
Clippers.
Yep.
And by the way, this is a good week for you guys to be yelling at each other because isn't the next game Lakers-Clippers? They play tomorrow night,
Friday
right?
Friday night, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Saturday night.
But the Clippers, I mean, by all accounts, it felt like a playoff game. That was the atmosphere. And people, bared down and did what they had to do.
Let me say this. I'm happy for Clipper fans, of which there are few. I think most Clipper fans go there to see other teams because it's hard to get Laker tickets.
Not anymore.
And I think there are other fans that hate the Lakers that are very happy to like the Clippers because they hate the Lakers. But people who purely love the Clippers, it's hard to find those people until now when they really do have a legitimate team with some legitimately great players. This is a great year to be a Clipper fan.
Yep. Dave, has Rihanna been seen before at a Clipper game until last night?
No, you know, she has been. She's been there, but I think she was there for D. Wade, you know.
Oh,
because
gotcha.
I've seen her.
She was at a Laker game a day or two before.
Yeah, I've seen her at a couple of Heat games and the Bulls games and a couple
of
games.
We're going to talk to Michael Clark Duncan coming up here in a couple of minutes, and he's a longtime Clipper fan, too. So he'll
don't
be
Jack.
Before we play Dave's song, if you don't mind, I'd like for him to ask me again if the Lakers have won a championship in the last 2 years.
Last year. In the past year.
No, you said, I'm sorry, you said, how many championships have the Lakers won in the last 2 years? That was your question. That was your question.
Sure was.
One. How many did the Clippers win? Not only did we win a championship in 2010, but 2009 as well.
That's all in the past.
Here's the thing. I'm happy for Clipper fans. I'm happy you have a good team. Mm-hmm. Take it easy with putting down the Lakers until you've had 3 decades of dominance and championships and all of that.
Now, let me ask you this question.
Hold on. You can't just forget about all that and go, hey, the Lakers are struggling a little bit this year. The Clippers are better. Woo! That's ridiculous.
Let me ask you this question.
Win 10 championships and get back to me.
How many losses do the Lakers have this season?
I don't know. 4.
Okay.
Guess how many the Clippers have?
At least 4.
3.
Woo!
Okay. Yeah. See, but what I'm saying is that proves nothing.
That proves they're having a better season. It doesn't matter that the Lakers have played 8 more games than the Clippers, but
all right. Every year the King comes in and we debut a new Clippers song, and earlier this week we debuted Dave's latest for 2012, and this is I guess this is your take on Ends in Paris, the Jay-Z song. It's Clippers in Paris, which doesn't really make any sense, but I think he did a great job with the song anyway.
Clippers ball so hard, you know where to find me. Laker fans keep trying me. I got the Clipper Nation standing right behind me, so you can't deny me. Ball so hard, I couldn't believe. When the news came down, we got CP3. And just like that, at the drop of a hat, the team turned into Lob City. Ball so hard, this is weird. Clippers not supposed to be here. Ball so hard, since we here, you know it's going to be the Clippers' year. CP3 and Chauncey, all-stars. Take your pick. Butler, Griffin, Jordan, our team is sick.
The Laker era is over.
I don't even know what that means.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative.
No, it's not. It
gets the people going.
Blake goes up, you know it's going to find him. CP3. 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 Dre goes up, you know it's going to find him. CP3. And Chauncey. Lob City. Clippers in the zone, Staples Center our home. You about to get owned, Lakers be dethroned. That's right, Clipper Nation, rise up. 2012 is our year. Shout outs to Clipper Darryl, DJ Dance. I see you dance. What up, Fung? Dave the King of Mexico, DJ Omar Khan. Clipper Nation forever. Suck it, Kevin.
And you know what? All that happened.
Now, when you say Clipper Nation forever, you mean for 2 years until CP3 and Blake Griffin go somewhere else.
Oh, no, dude. I'm Clipper Nation forever, okay. Man.
Funny man Eddie Ift, who gets us in trouble with K-Rock management every single time he makes an appearance on the Kevin DeBean Show, is going to be trying again in about 20 minutes or so right here on K-Rock. Plus, how about this? More tickets for you to go to Coachella. We have it throughout the day here on K-Rock, including at 9 o'clock. We give you another chance to call in and win your tickets for Coachella and be eligible for the trip to see Radiohead in France. It's destination number 2 of the K-Rock World Tour 2012.
All right, let's talk about Michael Clark Duncan.
Okay.
We've been talking about him for a while. Before a Dodger game, there was a celebrity game, and we were playing in it. Michael Clark Duncan was in it, and I made this unfortunate comment. No one throws like a girl more than him.
Oh, a girl.
Or no, runs like a girl it. Or hits like a girl.
I swear to God.
Michael Clark Duncan, if you know Michael Clark Duncan, if you have any contact with his people,
he won't disagree.
Let him know that we'd like him to come in here and just beat Kevin's white ass.
You know what? Fine. Throwing like a girl is insulting to girls because they all throw better than him. Wow. Right, now, I said that not knowing that he was going to be on the show, of course.
And by the way, we tried very hard last year when this conversation happened to get Mr. Duncan on the program. Remember, we wanted to give him the opportunity to respond because clearly none of us agree with you. And Kevin, you're just talking out of your ass.
I'm saying he threw like a girl.
I'm saying Michael Clark Duncan could eat
He's
you,
a monster.
Could eat you
yes.
for breakfast.
But you know what he couldn't do? Throw a ball to me 3 feet away.
Hey, I've seen you throw, champ.
So all that happened. So we had visions of, renting a gym and a ring and referees and really like making it a boxing event. That's what we wanted to do. But we were unable to get a hold of Mr. Duncan with his busy schedule last year. But finally, because he's got a new show premiering tonight at 9 on Fox called The Finder, we get the opportunity to catch up with Michael Clark Duncan and find out what's going on and settle this once and for all. How are you, sir? Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, man, how you doing? First of all, let me just say something.
Yeah.
Kevin, you don't want any parts of me, brother. I'm going to say this right now. You want no parts of me. You can laugh and joke and do all that, but if I catch you, it's going to be something else, and it's not going to be in the ring. It's going to be in a dark alley.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I think I agree with that.
This is exactly what we needed, something to set Kevin straight, because look, make fun of whoever you want privately. Don't call out a beast like Michael Clark Duncan publicly. You're asking for it.
He did the wrong thing. But you know, my mother always told me, as long as you talked about, you thought about. So I appreciate the comment.
No worries. So you're happy that I said you threw like a... You throw a little bit like a girl, right?
All right, let's talk about something else. Let's talk about the finder. Can't you just listen to his voice, though, and it scares you, though,
yes,
Kevin?
Yes, of course.
I would run as far away as possible as I could.
Crush me if all he had was his pinky.
Pretty soon, it's just going to be the Bean Show.
That's right. Man, that's right. Hey, listen, congratulations on the show, The Finder, debuting on Fox tonight. You are known as a big-time movie star. We've been seeing you in movies for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. I don't remember the last time I saw you on television. Have you done much TV work before this?
No, I have not. This is my first series that I'm doing, and it was a true blessing in disguise. It was something I had wanted to do for a long time, and when Art Hansen, who created Bones and created this show, came to me, it was just like a no-brainer, man. It was something I really wanted to challenge myself as an actor on, and boy, I've been challenged.
Had you considered doing TV? In other words, were you reading other scripts and stuff, trying to find the right project, or did
I had some projects in the work last year, but they just didn't pan out, and they weren't the right vessel for me. This was the perfect vessel for me, and I got a good co-star in Jeff Stokes.
By the way, he to me looks like Josh Duhamel so much. I mean, crazy. Okay, the chicks are going to love him.
The chicks are going to love him, but somebody said that he looked like Tom Brady.
I can see that.
No, don't say that.
Uh-oh. What's the beef here?
Until I see him show up to the set with Giselle, then I'll say he looks like Tom Brady.
No, he is a good-looking guy and very likable, very watchable.
You know what? He's fun to be with. He's always joking on the set. He's always into something. He messes with the female co-stars, Maddie and Isabella. And we just have fun every day, man.
Tell us what the show is about, what the main character does.
Well, Walter Sherman, played by Jeff Stokes, is the finder, and he can literally find anything. And I am Leo Knox, his bodyguard, best friend, lawyer, confidant, everything to him. And he helped me out in a situation some years ago when my family was murdered. I was going back to get the guys that murdered my family. So he helped me out and calmed me down, helped me to lose weight. Now, that's my boy to this day, so I'm his right-hand man. But he will not be able to find Kevin once I get through.
Hey, let's not focus on that. Let's focus on the finder.
I will tell you, though, I saw the premiere episode. Fox was kind enough to send over an early copy of it before airs tonight at night. And you're unbelievably likable in the show, and your character seems one of those gentle giants who doesn't have to prove himself all the time because you are so smart and so physically imposing. But I have a feeling down the road that we're going to see you burst. I have a feeling we're going to see you break out and just start beating up everything in sight.
You know what? And you're absolutely right. Leo does burst out, and he is not the gentle giant like everybody portrays him to be. And you'll see a very unusual side of Leo in some episodes. We have some great episodes. Curtis 50 Cent Jackson is in one of the episodes called Life After Death. And David Boreanaz directed that episode. And in that episode, I have my first kissing scene.
Oh, now we're getting somewhere.
Check it out. Hey, how tough is it? This is the voice of actor Michael Clark Duncan here on The Kevin Bean Show. We're talking about his new show, The Finder, debuting tonight at 9 on Fox. How tough is it to cut through in the busy television landscape with so many new shows on the air just to get the word out? I mean, is Fox hooking you up? Are they putting you on after American Idol ultimately or anything like that to get you going?
Yeah, we come on after Bones tonight, and then every week after that we come on right after American Idol. So
it's going
to be different. They're trying to help us out. And what I think, you know, when you're in television, it's something like being on a professional team. You can't worry about getting traded or what's going to happen. You just go out there and do your thing. And we've been doing our thing since August the 15th. I just got in from New York late last night doing press there all for 2 days. And now it's back to the grind. I have to be at work this morning at 10 o'clock. So it's been a grind, but it's been a joyful grind, and we've been having fun with it.
And you can't worry about where the slot is or how they promote you or anything else
at this point. You can't worry about all that. It's just like you guys. You can't worry about the other stuff.
Yeah.
Right. All right. Before we let you go, I just want to make sure. Yeah. Kevin, you and Michael Clark Duncan are cool?
I'm cool as long as Michael Clark Duncan admits he can't throw that well.
Oh.
You know what? I bet I can throw you into the ocean.
Oh, man.
All right. Apparently, it hasn't been settled.
Unfortunately, I believe you and not me.
I do, too. The Finder, tonight at 9 on Fox, right after Bones. Great to catch up with you, man. Thanks for coming on the Kevin DeBee Show.
Thank you, guys.
Bye now. Love you. Bye now.
Okay. Eddie Ifsch joins us in moments here on the Kevin DeBee Show.
No, he'll be here. Sure. No,
he might. Sometimes he comes in when he's supposed to.
He's famous for that. He's famous for showing up when he's supposed to be on the show.
He was supposed to be here yesterday, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And didn't show.
And also more Coachella tickets. By the way, tomorrow we got a packed show. I won't tell you much except to remind you, Ralph, that tomorrow the great Denny Blaze joins us in studio.
Average homeboy Denny Blaze?
Yes. Denny Blaze is going to be blazing us tomorrow here on the Kevin DeBee Show in town for
an average homeboy.
An appearance at the Whiskey, yeah.
Average.
So I know he's
homeboy.
I know you've been a fan of his for a long, long time. So
greatest rapper of our generation. Maybe any generation.
Anyway, it's the Kevin DeBee Show, 8:55. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday. What's going on?
No, Mike Clark Duncan, I don't want any piece of you. You're right.
I told him he was a bad thrower. Did I tell him he threw like a girl?
Yeah.
Right.
That's why he said he'd throw you into the ocean.
Right. Well,
okay.
I know. Afterwards, I thought, yeah, I should have said, yeah, if you're standing in the ocean, you could throw me in the ocean. But I'm not that quick.
No, no.
So
you're George Costanza.
Plus he's... But I should have said, the jerk store called and they're all out of you. Plus his voice does scare me, and yeah. He is a giant.
If his voice scares you, if he had been in this studio, you would have wet your pants.
No, please.
You are so bold when he is not on the phone.
I'm going to find video of that. I'm going to put it up, and I'm going to force every one of you to agree with me.
Oh, I can't wait till he finds you in a dark alley.
Well, he did specify it wasn't going to be a ring.
No, because the things he's going to do to you aren't legal.
Yeah, that's not... I didn't say he couldn't fight. I just said he couldn't throw. Back to you.
People's Choice Awards were given out last night.
Oh, thank God.
Yes. Well, now we know what's going to happen for the... Golden Globes and the Oscars and the Emmys. We've got our map. We've got a roadmap set out for us.
I don't think this is any kind of predictor.
Put all of your money down for Water for Elephants to win the Oscar this year. Because
that's bullshit.
The people love it.
The people don't love it.
That one for Best Dramatic Movie over Moneyball, Limitless, The Help, and Which Adjustment
was,
Bureau.
The Help was great.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah.
Is that because, what's his name? Is it
Rob Pattinson?
Rob Pattinson, yeah.
Sure.
So see his name, they go, that had to be good, let's vote for it.
Favorite cable TV drama? Well, sure, you'd figure it'd be Dexter or Game of Thrones or True Blood or White Collar.
White Collar.
Pretty Little Liars.
That's bullshit.
I don't even know what Pretty Little Liars is.
It's in the second season, I think it's an MTV show.
Is it MTV or is it like ABC Family?
I think that's what it is. It could be, yeah.
Favorite network TV drama? Well, I figured I'd get this one right. The Good Wife, which is just maybe one of the best shows on television. House, of course, still strong after seven seasons. Grey's Anatomy, critically an audience favorite. The Vampire Diaries, also well done. Supernatural. Well, it's got those two cute guys in it. That's why it's the favorite. And Hot in Cleveland as favorite TV comedy.
Instead of Modern Family? Oh, on cable.
On cable, yeah. No, instead of Nurse Jackie or Weeds. Or It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia or Royal Pains. So, those are your people. Next time, for the people, by the people. Screw you! Screw the people!
The people who vote aren't necessarily representative of the people.
Then they should call it the Douchebags Choice Awards.
Douchebags who vote.
That's right. The A-Holes Choice Awards. Lonely, pathetic People's Choice Awards.
I am embarrassed that we work for CBS, the network that perpetuates this nonsense every year with that broadcast.
They put it on every year, and it probably gets big ratings because I think they tell the winners ahead of time that they've won, so it's almost 100% acceptance.
Yeah.
Except for Katy Perry. She didn't show up last night. Mm.
Hey, I haven't seen the list, Ralph, but yes. did our boy Jimmy Kimmel win for Best Talk Show?
That went to Jimmy Fallon.
Oh. Yeah, all right.
Well, look, you can't go wrong with the late night talk show host categories because it's right. It's Letterman and Jim and Jimmy Fallon and Conan.
Yeah.
And Leno. But still, it's hard. Yeah. It won't be as embarrassing as Water for Elephants
when you're pulling
out of that category, so... This is good news. Did you ever see Jersey Boys, Kevin? I know you don't like musicals. Did you ever see Jersey Boys?
No, but my wife tried to take me to it like six times.
Boy, is that a great musical.
We're in Vegas, and it was
so
much
fun.
It was in Vegas a lot, and when I'm in Vegas, you know, I'm drinking and gambling. There's no...
It's just 90 minutes. It's the Reader's Digest version. They cut a half an hour out of that show for Vegas.
Right, nope.
Just so you can get back to the table. Take a breath. Relax. Sit down for 90 minutes, watch an amazing piece of theater, and then go back.
My wife can't find me in Vegas where we go.
That's true.
So...
Well, she should look on the potty bus. That's for you, Ralph. We're in the potty bus.
Could be.
Jersey Boys, they're going to make a major motion picture out of it. This should be fun.
That's bullshit.
John Logan, the guy who wrote... Is that bull?
I don't know.
John Logan, the guy who wrote the screenplays for Hugo and The Gladiator and other big movies, is going to adapt the Broadway musical for the big screen. It's, of course, the story of Frankie Valli and Bob Gaudio of the Four Seasons. And they will be executive producers of the film as well. And it's about, the phenomenon that the Four Seasons were. They were one of the biggest chart toppers of the 60s, those guys. Throughout the entire decade, had hit after hit after hit. I can see you're underwhelmed.
Yes.
And Chris Humphries now is speaking out once again about his former wife, porn star Kim Kardashian.
Excellent.
Saying one of the reasons he couldn't stand to be married to her was the way she treated her family.
Well, didn't he know that ahead of time?
He should have, right?
Well, they didn't date for very long, remember?
That's true. He said he couldn't believe the way she spoke to her own mother or other members of her family.
Look, I am not a fan of treating your mom wrong. Yeah, I love
But if there is a mom to treat wrong,
if your mom is her, come on.
He also said Kim repeatedly enjoyed calling Khloé an ugly little troll. Well, again, maybe Kim's got something.
Truth hurts.
You're right there,
Sport. Bless you.
I would only disagree with little.
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthday is Kirstie Alley, 61 years old today. Actor Oliver Platt celebrates his 52nd birthday. Rob Zombie, musician, actor, writer, director extraordinaire, 47 years old. Zach De La Rocha of Rage Against the Machine is 42 years old. Melanie C. of the Spice Girls, Sporty Spice, is 38. Gemma Arterton from Quantum of Solace turns 26. And Naya Rivera, who plays Santana on the TV series Glee, is 25 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, this is comedian Eddie.
I was peeling the label off a bottle, and she said, "That means you're sexually frustrated." No, I'm not. I just don't want to get the label dirty when I shove the...
I know you're looking at me, and no, I don't smoke pot. I just eat it, and my sex drive's gone. My girlfriend's young. She comes home, she's like, "I want to seven times tonight." I'm like, "I got to call six friends." My girlfriend is in America, so she's not going to get to see this, so I was in a strip club last night. The stripper said to me, I'm sitting there, and she goes, "You have bad breath." And I was like, "You have a bad life."
Eddie F. on stage at the Ice House in Pasadena tomorrow night and Saturday night and joins us here at the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Yeah. Hey, Eddie, how are you, man?
Thanks for having me, guys. It's been a day, but I made it.
Like you said on your Twitter feed yesterday, when you were supposed to be here and then overslept, you tweeted later in the day, you're just appearing fashionably late. That's what they do in Hollywood,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Or the stars roll.
Or they just sleep in and have that heart attack, you know, when you make that AM-PM mistake.
You set it for PM?
I set it for PM, and you wake up and you're like, oh! I used to do morning radio and in New York,
right?
In New York City. And one time, like we started at 6, uh-huh. And one time I woke up at 7:30, and my alarm clock was set to my station.
Oh, good.
So all I hear is them going, "Eddie, where are you?" And I was the only one on the show that day. So it was like interns and engineers going like, "What are we going to do?"
We have a rule here that if you oversleep, you don't get a phone call.
Oh, really?
Because it's so much worse. The later you sleep, you feel so much worse.
It's a terrible feeling.
So nobody calls you to wake you up. That's the rule.
And the worst is coming up with an excuse. Like, I just have gotten sick of excuses. So, like, it's like...
You know, the AM-PM one doesn't work anymore either, for the record.
Well, because
the one you just gave us.
I tried. I thought I'd come up with the simplest one. I used to have ones like... one time I was like, I hate when I have to create, come up with an excuse. So I like when something happens on the way there.
Right.
And one time I was late for something and I'm on the way there and I hear that the president's in town, you know, and that always clogs up traffic.
Perfect.
And I was like, wait till they hear I met the president.
How long after you opened your eyes yesterday morning did it occur to you, oh my God, I was supposed to be on Kevin and Bean today?
Well, immediately, because I always check my phone and I saw 9 calls from Dave.
From Dave, yeah. That's awesome.
Like 8 isn't going to do it. Like somehow that 9th one is going to make a difference.
That's one of those ones where some relative has to die.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, I hope one of my relatives dies right now. So that I can make them feel guilty.
So it's not on you.
Well, we're glad to see you. We're excited about you being back in town for the Ice House Pasadena. Speaking of back in town, I know you're on the road a lot. You're busy. Is it every weekend you fly somewhere?
Yeah,
is that how you
almost every weekend I'm on a plane. Wow. And I'm losing it.
That's a terrible life, Eddie. That's a terrible life.
I started up. It is. It really is.
People, you made fun of that stripper in that joke. She's got a better life than you do because she's not on a plane to Milwaukee tomorrow. You know?
I would rather hang on a pole naked and take dollar bills in my butt crack than get on an airplane. I literally, like about a year ago in New Zealand, I started having panic attacks because I was just flying so much. And
it seems like you would get used to it. You wouldn't have panic attacks, but you'd get used to it.
No, I got a panic attack the other day because I had a wetsuit on that was too tight.
Really?
I couldn't get the wetsuit
what
off.
A pussy.
Come on, a wetsuit.
I swear to God, I couldn't get it off. And I'm sitting
somebody
there.
Somebody, I'm Jimmy!
No, I was all alone. And I'm like, well, I need scissors.
It has a long string so you can unzip it yourself.
No, I have this thing that's like a chest zip one. So it like comes over your head. It's awful. And I almost ran down to my girlfriend's house to just be like, hey, oh my can you God. Get me out of
that would have been so embarrassing.
Yeah, we would have been over.
Now, we were talking about you being up near Bean. You're up in Seattle.
Yeah.
And you felt bad that you didn't give him a call, except for you knew that he wouldn't come to your
show. Yeah, never. There's no way I could get him out. And I can't imagine what it would take to get Bean out to a show.
But tell us about your shows up there, because apparently they were a smashing success.
Yeah, they were good.
They were throwing money at you.
And, you know, when I got paid, the guy paid me from every register in the place. Usually you get a big check, and the check's from an organization, and it clears most of the time. And
but when they go to the register, does that give you the impression that they're barely keeping the doors open? Like,
exactly.
This is the only money we have access to is what we happen to sell in liquor tonight.
Yes, and then they give you the guilt trip.
Did they have a stash of cash and they just want the one register to finish it out?
Well, you just wonder what happened. Because, like, even during the show, you see all the money coming in. And you're like, why don't you have enough to pay me then? And they're like, I don't know what happened. You know, you didn't sell well and blah, blah, blah. And then you're like, no, your money's going to other. How much is up your nose? You know, whatever. Yeah. And
what percentage of what you're supposed to get did you get?
I ended up like we ended up like going down to like ones and nickels and
just giving you quarters.
I walked out with like bags with dollar signs on it,
and it worked out to be $17.
Yeah, I got the final amount.
Wow.
Are there a lot of bad surprises on the road when you show up, especially in a city maybe that you haven't been to before or a club that's new? You run into all sorts of people and don't really know what to expect, right?
No idea, and you never know. Like somebody said once that comedy club owners are right, like on a scale of like human beings and ethics, they're like right below serial killer.
Really?
Yeah, sometimes. You know what's weird? I've got a few that are just the most awesome people in the world.
Right.
And then I've got some.
Like the Ice House. Those people are great.
The most amazing people in the world. Like right, that's an example of someone that like really is good and has always treated me well. Never. But there's a few that you just like, you just want to kill.
Can you tell us the cocaine story?
Yeah, no? I've had friends that that have played gigs where they pay you with cocaine and and they're like, take it. And the guy's like, but that's not it's not my money. And they're like, it's more than your money. Take it. You know, you can sell it.
Right. So you need to commit a federal crime to get paid for what you already did.
There was a guy back days or years ago in I'm not going to say where, but he used to pay comics. He'd give them half their money and then put a gun on the table and just say, there's your money. And they'd be like, no, that's only half. And he'd put the gun up and go, no, that's all of it.
And then you'd go, yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
What are you going to do?
That doesn't sound like, I mean, that sounds like a scene from a Quentin Tarantino movie more than it does real life trying to get paid.
Can I guess the state?
Yeah, go ahead.
Utah.
No.
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 I thought I had that
weirdly.
One. Thought no. I had that one nailed.
But how did they ever get anyone to come back?
Because comics are so desperate. I used to play a club in New York City. Well, it wasn't a club. It was called Runway 69. It was a strip club.
Did you have to walk up and down while telling jokes?
I swear. What happened was, years ago, Giuliani passed a law that in New York City, a place had to be 60% entertainment, 40% stripping.
What a stupid law.
Yeah, exactly. All right. All the strip clubs immediately were like, comedy club.
Sure, of course. Right.
So what's better than doing comedy to a crowd of guys, like horny guys? That's what you want.
Waiting for the chicks to come back out.
But it turned out to be like the most amazing thing ever because the strippers, while they weren't dancing, would come over and just watch the comedy.
Really?
So it'd be the comedians.
And you would go, look at the C-section on this one.
Exactly.
No, you wouldn't.
Yes,
no.
Yes, I would back then. So they used to say to me, they were like, hey, do you want to do the gig? And I'd be like, it pays. I'm like, I'm there.
You wouldn't even check what it was or why or how.
I know. I was like, free lap dances. And they would. The girls, after you would perform, would be like, come on, your money's no good. Let me give you a lap dance. And I'd be like, oh, this is great.
Fantastic.
Well, but then all my friends caught on to this. So I ended up having an entourage of like 60 friends who wanted to go to Runway 69 and conveniently see my show.
But then when you were someplace else, they were nowhere to be found.
Exactly. Yeah. I'd be like, well, you got to go do another gig. And they're like, no, we're going to stay here.
Eddie, did you ever become actual friends, like out of the club with any of the strippers?
You know what he means.
I know.
I meant friends.
I dated a stripper for a while.
That's what I'm talking
about. Yeah, I did it for about 2.5 years, and I have
the therapy bills to show it.
We always argue with our friend Dr. Drew, who's convinced that all strippers come from tragic circumstances. They have daddy issues or they were touched or something like that. I refuse to believe that. I got to believe that there are some girls who are out there who just do it because they are exhibitionists and they enjoy the attention, and it doesn't mean they're damaged necessarily.
They're all happy. Well, you're wrong.
Okay. All right. You've done the research.
We don't want to hear that.
He is the expert, Dr. Drew.
We don't want to think about sad strippers, though.
You know how I explain it? They're like heroin. You have sex with them the first time, and you're like, this is so good. I know I shouldn't be doing this. Okay, one more time. and the next thing you know, your car's wrecked. You don't have money. Your family won't speak to you. It's just like a drug. And you're just chasing that high of the first time.
Wow. Eddie Ift is here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Follow him on Twitter, @EddieIft. He's performing at the Ice House in Pasadena. Friday night, two big shows. Saturday night, two big shows. Tickets on sale now through IceHouseComedy.com. We'll take a break. More with Eddie after this on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Our in-studio guest is comedian Eddie Ift.
Hi. Eddie has the most fascinating life. I had no idea how you spend your offstage time, but you need a reality show stat, my friend.
He's bad decision guy.
He is. Eddie makes nothing but bad decisions.
Eddie, you just drove across the country. Drove across the country.
Yeah.
Is this because you hate flying, or was this the idea?
It was like, I wanted to take December off, and I said to my girlfriend, I go, her family's in North Carolina, mine's in Pittsburgh, and I said, we have two dogs. I said, let's take the dogs and we'll drive across the country.
Oh,
now, why is that a bad idea, Kevin? Because I support that idea. Yeah. I would do that. I mean, my wife wouldn't go with me. She would hate it, but I would love that.
I did that when I was a kid. My parents used to take us on these all the way across the country trips, and it just is so much of Kansas and Oklahoma Nothingsville.
Oh, it drove me crazy. The way over, we did like the cool southern trip through like New Orleans and Austin, Texas, and all. But the way back, we did like Indiana, Iowa, Illinois, and, you know.
Those are the ones that you just speed through.
Well, you don't just speed through. You make a plan of attack of how we're going to nuclear bomb them and get take them off of the continent. Like, they shouldn't exist. I want the country to give up corn so we can give up those states. Give them to Canada, Mexico. I don't care.
So you didn't have a problem driving across the country. It was coming back.
Coming back was bad because I don't want to be like hacky, but my girlfriend in the But my brother's driveway, we were leaving my brother's house to start the trip. My girlfriend goes, oh, my God, I just got my period. And I went,
this is what, just before you get in the car and drive?
Just before we get in the car. And I went, oh, my God, we've got 5 days in a car together. This is going to be the worst. Like, this couldn't be more cliche.
But she's delightful that time of the month. Right?
My girlfriend is the nicest, sweetest girl in the whole world. But we ended up fighting in the driveway about hangers.
Hangers.
Yeah, somebody had given her a gift, hangers, like boxes of these hangers, and there were like stacks of them, and I'm like, they're like $20. We'll buy new ones when we get there. No, they need to come. And I'm like, they don't fit in the car. There's no room. No, these hangers have to make it to LA. And I'm like, I'll ship them there. They'll be there before us. No, they're coming with us. And I'm like, leave the dogs. The hangers are coming.
Yeah, there's no reasoning with her at this point. Now, so you guys basically spent 5 days in each direction with the drive, and then whatever time you spent at your respective parents' houses.
Yeah,
that's a lot of time together.
Yeah, we're not together anymore.
I doubt it's what
happened right before you left is that you had spent all that time together already.
That's a terrible idea. You had five more days.
Yeah,
and her dog. She's got this little. Her dog is a terror. It's part pit bull, mm-hmm. part French bulldog. And if you're asking how that happened, what happened was there was a pen of French bulldogs and a pit bull jumped the fence and a rape ensued.
Oh.
Yeah, basically, and made this beast of an animal. But it's actually really cute and kind of makes me pro-rape because the dog is so cute.
Not really. But, I mean, you don't mean that really.
In the dog sense.
We're talking dogs, yeah. Every time Eddie has ever been in, we've had a meeting with attorneys afterwards. I want you to know that, Eddie. That's not a lie.
They call us in. They go, let's talk about Eddie. They go, come on. Come on, he was talking about dogs.
I'm sorry.
By the way,
I've never gotten you thrown off the air. I've had radio stations thrown off the air.
Well, don't do that for us if you don't mind.
You've come close. I will tell you, and I remember this very well. Mr. Weatherby, our boss, called us in the first time that I can't remember what it was, and I wouldn't bring it up again anyway. But the first time you said something got us in really, really trouble, and I denied that you were on our show. I said, nope, wasn't our show. I've never even heard of NEF. What are you kidding me? I figured that would be our way out.
And wasn't that the exact same meeting that he told us to never have Eddie on again?
Not Eddie. I believe that has come up, yeah. This is Schmitty Schmidt, though. Schmitty Schmidt is joining us here.
I was in Dayton, Ohio one time doing a radio show, and it was a fill-in guy, and he was like a good old boy, and I had just come from doing shows in Dubai.
Okay.
And I walk in, and he goes, the girl introducing me goes, hey, this is Eddie, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, where you been, Eddie? How's everything going? And I go, good. He goes, where you been touring? I go, I just got back from the Middle East. And he goes, oh, where are you performing for the troops? And I go, no, the terrorists.
Oh, this is going.
And he goes, you know what? You can get the F off my butt. And he just starts, like, mother-effing me, like, nonstop. He's like, two of ours just died. And I'm thinking it's, like, his family, like, his sons or something. And he's like, I'm like, two who? He's like, two kids from Ohio. And I'm like, oh. And I was, like, trying to apologize. And he's like, get the F out of here right now. And I'm thinking, like, this is all on the air. And
awesome.
They didn't dump any of it. And so this guy, like, lost his job. So I started getting hate mail. People are like, how could you do that to him?
Oh,
and I'm like,
man.
Oh, yeah, I did it. That was all my fault. Because somebody doesn't know sarcasm.
First of all, you had the nerve to be a comedian and tell a joke. That's first of all. Okay.
Right.
Second of all, he's the guy on the radio who's been trained his whole life to not say mother effer, right?
That's the funny part is that that is his training, and then he turns to it.
I just can't believe what was going through his mind that he actually thought to himself that this comedian, you know, this liberal from L.A.
There are a lot of people out there like that, man.
Went over to do
to
a show.
Camps.
Yeah, went over to the Al-Qaeda camps and did a corporate.
Not that you wouldn't, by the way. You just haven't had the offer.
If I got that offer, I would take it.
They pay well. Hey, they'd probably pay in cash, too. You wouldn't have to worry about the register.
And I would have the best YouTube videos ever. I'd be on the jungle gym.
That would be pretty cool.
Shooting AKs.
Ice House in Pasadena is where it's going down. That's going to be tomorrow night, 8:30 and 10:30. Saturday, 8 and 10. And you're still doing the podcast with your good friend Jim Jeffries.
Yes, Jim
well,
and I
right?
are still doing the podcast. If you listen to the one today, I am not on it because it was recorded while I was driving with my girlfriend.
Okay. So okay, don't listen good to times. That one? Are you saying don't listen to that one?
Yeah, you just wait till I'm back on.
Okay, all right.
And follow Eddie on the Twitter, and you should. He's very funny, at Eddie Ift. Thanks a lot for coming in,
thanks,
man. Great
guys,
to see you.
Appreciate it.
Ralph Garman is here. Time for our final look at the showbiz beat on a Thursday Kevin and Bean show. What's new? What's happening in the world, Ralph?
What's happening today? Today? This very day?
This very day.
January 12th?
Uh-huh.
Well, it's just the 46th anniversary of Batman appearing on television. That's all.
Yay!
No, but what's happening
the
today?
The Batman TV series debuted on this very day in 1966.
That was 66.
The what greatest TV show ever in the history of the medium
but what
was
about
broadcast
today?
On ABC on this very day in 1966.
But what about today?
By the way, Adam West and I will be sharing the stage on January the 28th at the John Lovitz Theater. If you'd like to come see us up on City Walk, we're going to spend the evening with Adam West in celebration of his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. We're going to take a look at his life and his career, and we'll talk about how Kevin thinks he peaked in 1968.
No, don't talk about that. I didn't say that right.
You know,
hey, Ralph. This is Adam West.
Hey, Adam. How's it going?
You know, even I am getting tired of your talking about me.
Oh, come on!
Well, listen, that's him.
Done so much for that man. Gave him the best years of my life. There's a
hey, baby. Want to take a gander at some Adam West penis?
Yeah. There's a website called AdamWestStar.com if you'd like to contribute towards the cost of Adam Star. We're raising money. That's one of the reasons we're doing this evening with. But there's also a film that's being made about the process. A documentary that's being made that's been shooting now for years about the process of trying to get Adam a star and also his career and his, you know, what happened pre-Batman, post-Batman with Family Guy and everything else. And there is a trailer online at AdamWestStar.com if you want to go there for the film. And in the trailer is Kevin saying, you peaked in 1968,
no,
right?
No, they didn't put that in the trailer.
No, they
that
did.
Was yeah, one of the most embarrassing did. Things that's ever happened on
it's,
the Kevin and Bean
it's
show.
In the trailer.
No, I didn't. But I didn't.
In the trailer. And Adam's like, I don't think I like your tone, Kevin.
But that's not what I meant.
Yeah.
Why didn't you just say, moment. Hey, old man, why should we even care about you anymore?
That's right.
I don't know. That makes me feel bad.
Well, it's right there. It's going to be
it should
immortalized.
Should make you feel bad. Yeah.
Let's talk about the Kardashian clan, shall we?
They're in the clan?
Wouldn't surprise me. Khloe Kardashian, is she only half
What does that mean?
Is she only half a Kardashian? Well, I guess she'd be a...
What does that mean?
Well, here's the thing. The former ex-wives of Robert Kardashian, her father, and I put that in quotes.
Right.
Jan Ashley and Ellen Kardashian say that they believe Khloe was actually fathered by another man. That Kris, now Jenner, then Kardashian, was going someplace else to get her ice cream. Know what I'm saying?
Right.
I don't even know what that means.
I don't either.
This other man was much, much bigger, much, much hairier, much, much uglier than whoever fathered Kim and Courtney.
Yes. And this other man probably sat next to Han Solo when they made the Kessel Run in 12 parsecs.
So Chewbacca?
That's what I'm
guessing. Wow. Yeah. I didn't realize that. Yeah.
She's part Wookiee. That's my guess. This is sending the family into a frenzy. Kris Jenner said the story's so ridiculous, it's not even worth her time. Meanwhile, Khloe has tweeted with fury, saying these women should be ashamed of themselves. The audacity to mention my father's name like this. That's true. You don't want to besmirch the name of a man who was the lead counsel trying to get O.J. Simpson off for murder. You don't want to sully his good name.
That's true.
Yeah. So they're denying the claims, but I think it's interesting.
Yeah.
Maybe trouble in paradise for Hollywood couple Demi Lovato and Wilmer Valderrama. There is some rumors that maybe Wilmer Valderrama was cheating on Demi Lovato.
Who that could sounds see exactly that like
coming?
Him.
Who could see that coming?
That guy has his choice of anyone in Hollywood.
Wilmer, of course, played the popular candy dispenser Pez on That 70s Show. And
Pez.
It looks like he'd done some dirt to 19-year-old Disney princess Demi Lovato. She tweeted Tuesday, "The smartest thing a woman can ever learn is to never need a man."
Uh-oh. Uh-oh, that sounds like trouble.
Then she tweeted, "A wise girl kisses but doesn't love, listens but doesn't believe, and leaves before she is left."
She's trying to be too smart now.
"Loyalty is everything," she then tweeted again. So
she's sobbing between tweets, isn't she?
Sounds like there's a bitter party of one table waiting for her at the restaurant of love.
Yes. It's insane. He's one of those guys who's dated all the hot chicks, right? Didn't he date Mila Kunis Lindsay Lohan?
Yep.
I mean, like one right after another, right?
Yep.
Mandy Moore, maybe. I mean, it's just insane.
Little girls everywhere, do you want to buy a bald Barbie?
No.
Mattel apparently created a one-of-a-kind bald Barbie doll for a 4-year-old girl who was suffering from cancer because she lost her hair because of the treatment.
Well, that was nice.
Well, it was nice. So nice now that there are several online campaigns coming from cancer support groups demanding that Mattel crank out bald Barbies for store shelves. They want a mass-produced bald Barbie so that little girls who are going through chemo, lose their hair, have a Barbie of their own to look up to.
Well, Lisa's already spoken up and said no. She would like to deny those young girls the comfort while they're undergoing chemo. She said no already.
Understand exactly what that was about.
Beautiful and Bald Barbie has more than 14,000 supporters on the Facebook page.
Do they all promise to buy it?
And I bet they would.
All right.
Yeah. I think this is an excellent idea. They should start making little boutique Barbies for different groups. I think a difficult menopause Barbie would be good for the older collectors. They can have something like that. Questionable ethics Barbie would be good. You put her like in a suit, have her run for Congress or something. Divorce court Barbie with emasculated Ken would come as part of the set.
I like it.
Teenage slut Barbie comes with a football team you can buy separately. Come on, let's come up with some creative Barbies.
I like it.
I do too.
All good ideas.
Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Naya Rivera from Glee. She plays Santana on that program, the sexy cheerleader. She is 25 years old today. Gemma Arterton from Quantum of Solace played Strawberry Fields in that movie.
Yeah.
She looked good in that.
She really did.
26 years old. Melanie Chisholm, Sporty Spice of the Spice Girls, is 38 years old. She was always in like a tank top and sweatpants.
Yeah, right.
The rest of them were all dolled up in high heels and bustiers and whatnot.
Before your time, Ralph, we had Sporty in as a guest on the Kevin Devine Show. Very, very nicely. Enjoyed very much talking to her.
Did you find out what was in her fridge? Was it one of those kind of things?
No, she came in. She came in.
Huh. Is she of the
I think she might be.
Sapphic persuasion?
I believe so.
I believe so.
She enjoys ladies, yeah.
Zach De La Rocha from Rage Against the Machine is 42 years old today. Rob Zombie, musician, director, writer. 47 years old, Oliver Platt, very talented filmmaker, 52 years old, and actress Kirstie Alley. You know her, of course, from Cheers. She is 61 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Yes, tomorrow morning is Friday. That means we have the movie beat. Yes, we have Coachella tickets for you. Tomorrow we're going to talk to Mark Wahlberg. Huge movie star. How
Say
about
hi
that?
To your mom for me.
Tomorrow, we're going to have LaQuisha on about Jersey Shore. We're going to talk to Susan Crowley from the movie The Devil Inside. She's the old woman who was possessed.
Oh, scary.
Cousin Sal. None of that matters, though, because...
I'm not the typical rapper.
Yeah.
That you'll meet. I don't live in a box, nor was I raised on the street.
That's right.
Denny Blaze.
He's not the typical rapper.
Yeah!
He's an average homeboy.
I get up every morning and make my own bed.
Uh-huh. That's right.
For enjoyment, I like to shoot some hoops.
Yeah.
But not until I eat all my Fruit Loops.
Right.
Some good production, though, that
oh.
is. Good. The production values are just...
And he is on the rhythm. I don't know if you noticed that, but his his rhythmic skills, the way he spits those rhymes out right there on top of the beat is amazing.
So. Ralph, has he had a career for the last 25 years, or did his career just kind of get started a few years ago when that old video surfaced and we all became familiar with it on the internet?
He was rediscovered, like many great artists are. He was rediscovered by a brand new generation when that YouTube video hit.
Shine in my car brings me lots of joy.
Yeah.
I
can't believe he's in town to perform.
Yeah. He's going to perform, and he's going to tell us
where,
about it tomorrow.
Where is it? The Whiskey or something?
The Whiskey, yeah.
Like that.
Yeah. Some big club in L.A.
Very exciting.
This is a big moment
that's,
for me.
That's
wonderful. All. Will you perform live in studio?
Who knows if a talent
can we get
like
him
that,
a star of the Hollywood Walk of Fame
that's
too, Ralph?
My next project.
All tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin.